B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley. Oh, Dubo! Not through the weeds! Don't go through the forest for that ball, Dubo!
Shame. Shame.
Oh, God.
Shame.
I mean, you get two more bobs from the bobber, Kyle Schwarber. Are you kidding me? He's out of his mind. Two more. We talked about him yesterday and, you know, about how just amazing he's just been carrying you. And he carried again yesterday. And you lose because of yet another. Like, that center field is just a wasteland, man. What kind of tree can't track a ball after all these years? Julius and I were talking about it this morning. But it's amazing how some dude just can't track a ball. Like, he's never been able to track a ball properly. Take the right path to a ball. God, I just can't take him. I do think at this point that you just got to play Moniak every day and just be done with it. And, look, I don't have a lot of faith that Moniak's going to become anything more than a reserve guy. I mean, I just think he's one of these kids. There's a lot of guys that are just 4A players, right? Like, you know, don't just wreck that AAA pitching. All your great prospects, your best prospects are in AA, right? So, and then they become honed major league pitchers. And then you got guys that are just, you know, they're 92. They're not special. Like, there's not a lot of movement. No good, but not, you know, major league quality pitching. You know, back end, long man bullpen. There's those kinds of guys. And Moniak will hit those guys. I don't know if he can hit real good big league pitching. Here's the thing. Let him find out. I mean, I'd rather have that than I just can't watch Odubo play. He just kills you. He just buries you. And at some point, you know, maybe after the deadline during the waiver period, you're going to, you know, go get, you might make, that might be the center fielder you get. Like, the Braves got all those outfielders, and they got a bunch after the deadline. Rosario was one. I don't know. Maybe Conforto becomes available, something like that. But, you know, remember, they got Jock Peterson. They had a bunch of guys, like, you know, like decent outfielders when Acuna goes down. So you got to follow that model, and they know it because there's just such a hold center. And without Bryce, it gets exacerbated, right? So, you know, it's a shame because you lose, and, you know, it's the Nationals. But, you know, Noah pitched well again, and that kid actually pitched for Washington, Josiah Gray, he's really good. He's a good young pitcher. I mean, he's got a lot of good live fastball moves. He's good. Right? So, you know, just got to win today because you don't want to lose the series. But today, you know, we've been talking about it. And, you know, I'm starting to get, you know, I brought up Sirianni yesterday. And we talked about the NFL coaches yesterday. So I want to bring this to your attention. So ESPN took all the rosters, right, on the NFL. And they just rank the roster for all 32 teams, strengths, weaknesses, X factors, for all the starting lineups. So this is on paper. Now look, I show our YouTube on paper. I got paper in my hand. It's not on digital, but it's on paper. The best rosters in the NFL. And it's what you would think, right, at the top of the kind of list. So at the very top, you would have the Bills, right? Because the Bills, I mean, that roster, in fact, I touched on it yesterday. That roster is just outrageous, right? You got Josh Allen, Singletary, and James Cook here from Georgia, who's really good back. Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Jameson Crowder as your slot guy. Dawson Knox, you got a really good offensive line led by my man Deion Dawkins, right? Yeah, that's a great offense. Defense, you add Von Miller to this group that already has a killer secondary. Just a really, really good defense. So they're number one. You go, all right, well, that makes sense. And then you start to move forward. Tampa is number two. And we're going to go over the rosters. The Chargers got really good. The Chargers are number three. Shockingly, the Rams are four, because I thought they were a little lower. But shockingly, the Packers are five, which I did not expect them to be that high. Cleveland is six. Really? And then you start going, well, where are the Chiefs? And, you know, where are the Broncos? I'm looking for the rest of the AFC West, other than the Chargers. So seven. Who's seven? Da-da-da-da! The Birds!
Yes!
B-A-G-L-E-S. Number seven.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
The seventh best roster, according to ESPN, on paper.
Let's open it up in chat.
Which gets me just, you know, fired up. First of all, we know that they're good. But ranked seven. Pretty impressive. And I'll give you their take on it in just a moment. And you look at the roster they have, but wow, seven. What does that mean?
I played a couple of them at Rock, Paper, Scissors.
They do the PFF rankings of each player. And I got to tell you, I like it. I like number seven. Seven. Good morning, Tunis.
Seven.
That's exciting. It's crazy to really kind of think about it, but here's the thing. You and I have been talking about it all off season long, ever since, you know, they make the trade for A.J. Brown and they have the nice draft, and then they bring in a Bradbury a couple weeks later. And I remember we were at the Brian Dawkins golf tournament that day when the news broke, and we were like, wait a minute. One of their biggest holes was the secondary outside corner, because there was talks about moving Avante Maddox out there.
Correct.
Which we've seen that not work out in the past. And they bring in a former Pro Bowl corner opposite Darius Slay. And when you really think about it, the only area of concern is safety. Jalen Hurts, you have questions about. I still do. I'm not sold on the guy, but I don't think he's going to have to do all that much to have this offense move because of the amount of talent he has. He just has to hit some throws. Safety is really the only position where you go, all right, that's a question mark for this team. This team is very talented on both sides of the ball. And so when you really think about it, you go, wow, maybe they are top 10 in terms of talent.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why we're very, listen, the last 2 years, I mean, I wasn't spinning nickels on my forehead going E-A-G-L-E-S.
No.
But this year I am. This year's legitimate. So let's get into this ranking, because this is a really interesting thing, and I want to compare and contrast with other teams. So, here's the criteria, and I'll read from the story. With the 2022 draft free agency behind us, we're breaking down each team's roster using the PFF database. With an eye toward the projected starters, we're looking at both the PFF grades from the 21 season, which is you have it for every starter, and a more comprehensive assessment of each player's career using both the PFF grades and the stats. So PFF grades of 90-plus category, right? That's elite. 80 to 90 are good, high quality. 70 to 80 is average, and 70 and 69 or lower is below average. So that's kind of what they're at. So just because you brought them up, like they have Jalen Hurts as a 77.
Okay, so average.
That would be average. So now it's trending toward, you know, it's closer to good quality.
Right.
At 77.7. Now, we'll see. Again, you know, there's things that you can't quantify with a number that he has to improve on to get to good quality, which would be right. 80.
And I'll be honest, just because I've said it in the past, I think PFF is a crock of you-know-what. Like, I do. But when we go eye test, like, I don't need a PFF grade to tell me that A.J. Brown is an incredible wide receiver. I don't need PFF to tell me that Devontae Smith is a guy that was open every single play, it seemed like, last year.
Right.
Right? So we don't need those grades, but you know.
They're interesting. I always like them as talking points, more discussion points, because, look, they all come from tape. Like, but the problem is, you know, it's so hard, unless you're the head coach and you know what the play call was, what the responsibilities are. You know, there's the one thing about film breakdown when you're not a part of the team is you don't know certain factors. You know, which makes it a little bit ambiguous. However, you know, you get a good read on a guy, and we'll go through it. I look at it, Tunis, and I go, this is interesting, man. So here are the, let's just go through the grades real quick. And look, I know I'm not saying PFF is the Bible, but let's just look at their grades.
Yeah.
Because it does give you. So Sanders, they go 70, which I think is a fair grade.
I think that's fair.
I think it's spot on.
You and I have had this conversation loads of times that he's a good back, but he's not one of these. I mean, there's 20 other running backs he'd rather have.
Right. I think he could be better. He should be better.
Yes.
He's a mystery to me.
He didn't have one guy, touchdown last year.
I know, he's a guy who should be better. And yes. When I think about it, Gainwell, as they list the other back, we always said that we think they need more backs, 72, which I think is right.
So they have him higher than Sanders.
Yeah. Now, I think part of it is what he does.
Okay. And last year's numbers, they said he scored touchdowns last year. So that probably adds to it.
A.J. Brown, 86.3.
Okay.
Which is very good.
Yes. I think it could be higher.
Right.
He's been with Derrick Henry for the last couple of years.
Devontae, 77.7. Which I think is low.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think Devontae should be in the 80s. Now, part of it is, you know, the quarterback and get on the page. And, you know, I think his ability is elite, but I think he should at least be ranked in the 80s. Quez, 68.2. So that's below average.
Below average. Okay.
And I don't think he's below average.
Neither do I.
I think he should be better. I think he should be high 70. I think he should be where, you know, Devontae would be. Or like 75.
In the 80s, yeah.
Right now. Where they have Devontae at 77.
Right, like, that's have him in the 80s, exactly. Quez in the 70s.
Now, Goddard, 90.7.
Wow, okay.
Now, that's elite.
Yes.
Now, that's an elite tight end, which I agree with. But this is where they make a lot of hay. Mayalata, 88. Now, they rank Dickerson as a 69.6.
That's interesting.
Which I think is low. But again, it's the rookie curve, I guess.
Didn't he not commit like one holding penalty? Or, like, he has some ridiculous.
I know, dude. I love Landon Dickerson.
Here, I'll add this to the offensive line.
Yeah. The autumn wind was a pirate.
Dickerson leads to Jason Kelce, who is an 84.5, which would be very good. And I think that could be higher. Sayamalu, 62.4. And Lane Johnson, 83.3. It's not bad, right?
That was pretty good. Closed my eyes and down the center for a second.
Now let's move to the defense. Fletcher Cox. Javon Hargrave. Jordan Davis. Wow, they have Jordan Davis, dude, listed as 82.6.
Already?
What?
That's awesome.
Dude, you gotta explain to me these grades. I don't understand these grades. Fletch, 68.7. Hargrave, 67.3.
Wait, so they got Jordan Davis above.
BG, 62.6. And Hassan Reddick, 69.9. What?
That's weird.
They're low. And the linebackers. Kazir White. Nakobe Dean. Leads us to the secondary, the shutdown corner. Darius Slay, 81.
That's low, too.
I'm thinking the same thing. The defense is way low. First of all, they have Nakobe Dean at a 91.8.
So I wonder...
That's the highest grade of the team.
I guess there is a PFF for college, so I wonder if...
Yeah, they're using that.
That they must be.
Yeah. Well, it's a projection.
Right.
It's all, I mean, these grades, I'm looking at the defense and they're completely whack. The grades on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Graham, he's low because he barely played last year.
Right. But, listen, the quality of what you're going to get is going to be above 60.
I would
the
imagine.
Snaps.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, you got to look at the snaps, right? The snaps that you get, PG's going to give you way better than
62.6. Especially when he doesn't have to be a three down end anymore.
Exactly. And we know.
He looked good, man.
Because we saw him. He's ready to go. Brandon Graham. Speaking of athlete, we talk about guys that you drafted or signed as free agent or traded for who exceeded expectations. Right? PG
exceeded.
He exceeded expectations. But they got Brandon Graham at 62.6. Hassan Reddick is 67.9. I don't get that.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird to me. He's very talented.
Hassan Reddick. Well, I hear that music and that's all I go, oh, God, take me to that freaking happy place. Yes. It just, it makes you morph into a different character. Look, my voice even changes. Isn't that right, Chunas? Close your eyes. And September is upon us. Close your eyes. And Lincoln Financial Field.
Ha. The autumn wind is a pirate. Blustering in from sea, with a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
Dude, how awesome is that?
His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash. With a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. Trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn winds a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Dude, are you kidding me with that? That's art. Is that not art?
I think I've reached punching territory.
Dude, I want to run right through that glass, double-sided glass.
Thank God.
And leap.
I have to lock the door.
And attack you like a tiger.
We don't want that to happen.
like a tiger.
Hello.
All right, 10:30 across the Delaware Valley. And I'm looking at these rankings. So with this being this ranking and looking at on paper stuff, does it translate to expectations? It's such an interesting kind of time because when you look at the team and its growth, obviously everybody's looking at it like, last year's playoff was kind of good fortune, who you played. They weren't really a playoff team. It was just more happenstance that you made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they played Gilbert Gottfried at one point, RIP. He was, the quarterback for Washington, the great. Garrett Gilbert was his name.
Right.
Like, come on.
No, and I think everybody realizes that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the product of the schedule is real. Like, when you go through and, you got the Jets and you got these teams that you played, I mean, you were able to rack up wins, which is good. I mean, you don't take it away from them, but you also know the level of quality. So when Tampa happens, you're not shocked that it's a route piece, right? So, but this year is completely different. And I want to dive into this piece, this part of it, which is, do you feel, it feels different to me and it feels different to you, but I don't know. So my expectations are that they should fight, especially with the schedule, that they should fight with the Cowboys for the division and at the very least, repeat as a wild card.
Yeah, and we were talking about it, I think, just 2 days ago. You look at the Cowboys' schedule, the way they start, they could quickly be 0-2. Eagles could be quickly 2-0. You got a two-game lead in just week three of the NFL season, which is that means a lot, especially when we think that this team could win 10 games. And so when I saw this, these rankings, and we started talking about it, do I think, like, when I hear the number 7, like the Eagles are the 7th best roster in the NFL, I can't help myself but go, all right, that's probably a little too high, right now to think about it that way. But I don't know, like, we can go through the other teams that are right behind them, but basically the way I look at it is they should win 10 games. We've been saying that for weeks now, that they should win at least 10 games, whereas last year I had them winning 6.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bleak the roster was. And we talked about the benefit of the schedule.
And it's funny because you could have easily, like, again, if they played a different schedule, I mean, yeah, they would have been in that territory. 6-7.
Yeah. But that's not how it worked out. And they got to the playoffs, and that was great. And this year, the schedule, they kind of benefited on paper. Again, they benefit from the schedule, and they're more talented this year.
Yeah.
And I keep on bringing up the safety position as the only spot on the field where I go, all right, I'm kind of concerned there, but they have veterans like Anthony Harris. They brought in the guy from San Francisco.
I like Tart.
Marcus Epps. I'm not biggest Epps guy, but, he's not going to kill you, I don't think.
What's funny is that these grades, man. I think if Tart is 57. Listen, I'm not saying he's
dog.
Right.
Right.
But, I think he's better than that. I think he's quality. He's a professional safety.
Yeah.
He
belongs in the NFL.
Right.
Rotational guy. Make it work. Like, if Epps goes down or if Anthony Harris goes down, you're not like, oh, damn. I mean, just a couple of years ago, the Eagles were playing Michael Jaquette because they had no other corners.
Right.
Like, they're literally getting guys off the street who were working at Target before playing for the Eagles, right?
I know.
That's what they had to do a couple years ago, whereas you're not in that position right now.
Right.
Which is great. I mean, you have depth. Cornerback depth is still a little bit of a concern because if one of those guys goes down, but if any team's number one or number two corner goes down, you're pretty much in a bad spot.
Exactly.
But you look at the defensive front. When they lost BG last year, they couldn't get to the quarterback as well. But you have now Hassan Reddick, who you'll be able to move all over the place. You still have Milton Williams. We didn't even talk about him. Milton Williams is a guy that they can move to the outside. Josh Sweat is a guy that's...
Their rotation,
yes,
along the line, I think, projects to be, they should compete with the Cowboys for the division.
Yeah,
I think
so
they're
too.
Clearly ahead of the Giants in Washington.
Yes.
I mean, right now...
Unless Carson is...
Right.
2017.
Right.
Right? That's basically it.
And you're right. Like, you know, the Giants to me are clearly, you know, that's a rebuild piece, new coach. And I like the coach a lot, yep. Brian Daboll, but, you know, it's a new piece, new coaching. You know, they, their offensive line still needs a lot of work. Their quarterback, you don't know about. So that clearly is the Cowboys. I don't know. I mean, I don't, they've been, first of all, Dak has been an underachiever
in recent years, yeah.
That team has been an underachieving team.
They have been. And Zeke's washed. You know, so Tony Pollard, I like Tony Pollard a lot, but, you know, is he going to be a lead back for that team? We'll see. I was afraid of the Cowboys last year. Remember, we've had those conversations. Remember I had that dark fear that the Cowboys were going to rule the NFC East and actually make it to the big dance at the end at some point, not last year, but at some point. I don't have that fear anymore.
I know.
That's starting to wash away. And now it's funny. I was, you know, having thoughts to my head because that's what normally happens. I was thinking just yesterday about projecting forward the Eagles. Like the Eagles very well could be NFC championship or Super Bowl contenders in 2 years.
I know.
Like that's not far from now, 2 years. And we'll see. Does Jalen Hurts take that leap forward? I don't think he's going to kill you this year.
Look, you start to look at the pieces that they put in, the younger pieces, right?
Yep.
If you think about the younger pieces you like, This is what excites me about this team is the youth piece of it. So A.J. Brown's 24 years old. 24.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith, Quez. Dallas Goedert is young. Jordan Mailata, young. Landon Dickerson, young. Right? Now, you know, Lane's is in his prime, but not old.
No, not old. He's still talented.
You mentioned Milton Williams to go along with Jordan Davis up front, right? And N'Kobe Dean is going to be a player. Like you can look around, and they got like some decent youth. Like their youth is promising now.
Yeah, and think of it this way: I just brought up the Eagles' contracts. AJ Brown through 2027. Davis, 2027, obviously rookie deal. Lane Johnson through 2026. Jordan Mailata, 2026. Goddard, 2026. You know, obviously Devontae Smith, rookie deal. N'Kobe Dean, rookie deal. But Hassan Reddick, 25. Josh Sweat, 25. Maddox, 25. Like, you have a lot of players on this team, important pieces to this team, and you got to give Howie Roseman credit for that, that are locked up for a couple of years.
I know.
Like, you have them locked up for a couple of seasons now, guys that are going to be making an impact for years to come.
Right.
And that's the growth piece of it, right? That's one of the hardest things in the NFL, is sustaining success, right? Unless you're Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, it's hard to sustain success. Because guys are getting one-year deals or guys are cooked at the end of their contracts.
Right.
They have a lot of young players that are locked up for a couple more years, which is awesome.
Yep. I look at it and I go, that's incredible, man. I mean, it's incredible. Real quick, because we're all geeked up and I brought up the Cowboys, and I got to ask you and the audience something. Because I was a little disturbed. Do you remember I told you I went to Ocean City for the night on Tuesday night?
Yep.
Right? It was just, I had to run down there and see a friend. So I was down there for just a few hours. But I had to stop and get gas at one of the Super Wawas. I go in, I do my thing. And I ran into somebody. And no, I'm sorry. I take that back. I had to go to the mall because I got to get glasses, right? Because my LASIK kind of worn off, and then there were some issues or whatever. So I had to go get glasses. So I went to the Lens Crafter in the mall,
okay,
right, which I never do. Well,
the Defert Mall?
Yeah.
All right.
Right, which I never do. And they were great in there. They're fantastic. But anyway, I got stopped. And I do great. Like, guy was awesome. I mean, in fact, a couple times it was fun because I actually, like, I never go to a mall. So it was like, oh, yeah, what's up, bro? You know, I saw like, I don't know, like five of our listeners.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. So anyway, one guy, it was great. And we're talking. He goes, hey, I heard you talk about, you know, talking football last week. He said, I'm pumped up. He goes, I got one thing though. And he said, the only thing is you brought up the Cowboys, and which you guys do a lot. He said, I gotta tell you. He goes, that Eagles Cowboys thing? He goes, that's dead. And I've been meaning to bring this up to you. And he goes, yeah, he goes, that's dead. Like, nobody cares about the Cowboys anymore. They're just, you know, division. But the whole thing's dead.
All right.
And I was like, wow, really? He goes, like, yeah, just think about it. He goes, the all those old Cowboy fans, they're like, you know, they're not around as much. And they're quiet. And there's not, the Eagle Cowboy thing is completely done. And I was like, wow. And I guess, I don't know. I'm going to put that out there. Is it done? Like, is it over?
I think it's on ice. Because they've been such a joke. And I'm not wishing for them to be good. If they were good, that would change. If the Cowboys were, you know, legit contenders year in and year out, and it was Eagles, Cowboys for the division every single year, but not 8 or 9 wins in the division, right? That's what happened a few years ago where the Eagles won the last 4 weeks of the season. The Cowboys fell apart. Eagles won 9 games and won the division. I'm talking about two teams that need 12 or 13 wins to win the division. That would bolster the rivalry again. But because they have been a joke, man. They are a national joke, not just here. Because they fall apart every single year. Things don't work out. I still remember last year that there was all the fans crying and ESPN was making a mockery of them. Like, they have become a joke, the Dallas Cowboys, because the whole America's team thing is, I think that's done. You have the frauds all over the world that like the Cowboys, but it's been 20 years, man. It's been 20 plus years.
I mean, that's basically what my man said, that they're, you know, it's over. It's done. Like,
but if they were good and the Eagles were good and they were both competing for the division again, that would change things.
Well, I guess last week I said it was, you know, it was Eagles and Cowboys and, you know, for the division. Now, I don't think Washington, again, unless Carson gets it right, you know, it's probably a 2-team NFC East. But this guy was like, no, dude, like, even the Cowboy fans are done. Like, there's no, he goes, that whole, you know, America's team and all those front runners, because of the 20 years, I guess, there aren't any Cowboy fans out there.
Because they can't be chesty anymore. Like, Cowboys fans can't be chesty. You could tell me how many rings you've had, but come on, man. It's been 20 plus years. I can go, hey, Eagles had it 5 years ago.
He also said there's not a Cowboy fan under 40. That's not from Dallas.
That may be true. No, that's not true. I'm sorry. Because I told you I grew up with a lot of Cowboys fans in my neighborhood, but a lot of them have.
I don't know.
A lot of them have jumped ship. I think that was more parenthood, bad parenthood.
The parents were Cowboys
fans? Yeah, and I think they force it on their children. But I think the kids have grown up.
So are you telling me that, I don't have the schedule in front of me, that come Eagles Cowboys Sunday Night Football?
Well, aren't they all there on Christmas Eve this year, man?
Oh, my God.
Like, come on. I mean, that's going to get people fired up, especially if it's that late in the season, fighting for the division, which they will be.
His point was, it's not a bit, you know, again, it doesn't mean that they're a division rival, so it matters maybe more than against the Jets, but it's no more important than the Giants or Washington. And, you know, this whole idea of, you know, it's Cowboy Week, that's over.
How old is he?
Maybe 35.
All right, because, I mean, we've had this conversation. I grew up hating the Giants more than the Cowboys because the Giants had success. The Giants had success my childhood.
I don't know. I didn't ask him, but he had to, like, none of it. Like, that there was no rivalry.
When you see the star, there's no more hatred, immediate hatred.
No.
Because I still, when I drive around.
It was a good discussion because it wasn't like, you know, a hot take. It was like,
he's just saying it.
He was just like, dude, I just think it's done. Like, no, like, I don't care. He's like, listen, it's the division, so I want them to win, and it's a little more heightened. I'm paraphrasing. It's a little more heightened. But now he goes, they're done. Like, there's no, all those fans, he brought up Cowboy Dave, like, even if you remember the last handful of calls Cowboy Dave made,
yeah,
he just babbled
It wasn't even about the Cowboys. It was about all the other
right.
teams.
Right, Ranger Dave and Alabama
he
Dave.
Bengal Dave.
Bengal
last year.
Dave.
Yeah.
Right. Right, so.
He's a frog.
Pigeons. Right, so, but all those characters, and, you know, for years and years and years, we talk about, you know, we've always discussed it. And I remember I used to give him a platform because I used to enjoy the byplay and go, you know, we fight with them. But I would love for them to call because it was fun radio, man. I was like.
Boy Tyrone from Camden.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard from him.
No.
I mean, like half a decade.
They're dead. Now, it's funny because my man Kay Will says, I will always have Dallas hate.
Of course, you'll always have Dallas hate.
But
let me tell you something there. Let me give you just my own personal experience. When I went down the shore last weekend, the weekend before the 4th of July, excuse me, I was on the expressway driving to Brigantine, and there was a truck in front of me that had the Cowboy star on the back of their car.
I must see that same truck. Was it a white one?
I think it was silver. But it might have been silver. Maybe. Anyways.
What was it? A pickup?
Yeah, it was a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't get angry.
No?
I don't laugh.
I hate it. But I laughed.
It was more like a, man, you're still repping that, huh?
Right.
Like, I'll be honest, dude. There were times.
Why, you pitted fool?
Yeah, pretty much. There were times where I used to grip the steering wheel, man. But, I saw the Cowboy logo on the expressway, and I'm just like, really? Like, you're still good for you, I guess. It was one of those. Like, a good for you, man, that you're still hanging on to that fraudulent team. You're not even from there. I laughed.
Wow.
They've become a national mockery, a national joke.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and think about when Dak first started, right? There's the Dak v. Wentz thing. Wentz is gone, and is Dak really all, like, I like him, Dak?
No, he's actually shown you that, I mean, he's not a top 10 quarterback.
No.
No, I you know, listen.
Like my Zeke hatred, Ezekiel
he's come up small, well, a lot of games.
Ezekiel
like, I don't think
was
he's
my
dead.
Least favorite yeah. player in the NFL. Couldn't stand him. Hated the belly shirt. Hated the spoon feeding. But dude, now he averages like 1.5 yards per
carry.
No,
he's got nothing.
Like I can't hate him anymore.
He's had absolutely nothing. Dude.
No, it's laughing. I see him not be able to reach the line of scrimmage. I chuckle. I go, I hated that dude.
I gotta tell you, dude.
Ewok? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, the mighty Ewok. Not E-Rock. E-Rock's Eagle fan. The Ewok, he stinks. Like, when you watch him, there's no burst.
Nothing left.
I was talking about, we were talking about Pollard, and this was like, what was it, 2 years ago? And I said to Diego, dude, I don't know about you, but I'd rather Pollard run the ball. If I'm them, Pollard's got burst. Elliott's got none. No burst whatsoever. And he's got no power either. Not like, you know, he's Dallas, you know, it's not like he's Derrick Henry. Right?
Right, no, he's got nothing left.
And I don't know, what's he, 26? Is he 26, 27?
Oh, he can't be that old. He's on his second contract, I think.
I know, I should say, like, How do you?
He's 26, and he's turning 27 in 2 weeks.
Okay,
still,
that's nothing. In today's game, Curtis Martin was a Pro Bowler in his 30s. He's 26, 27, and he's what? Washed? Which begs the question: was he ever that good?
He was.
I mean, he was, but was he that good? Was it more of the prerogative offensive line?
Maybe the offensive line. Remember, they didn't want to give him that contract. Remember, he held out?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of beef because they realized, you know, running backs are a dozen at this point.
Well, and you know that was a Jerry decision.
Oh, 100%.
Right? That all his football people say, no, 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 do not sign him. Do not give him a big contract. But Leatherface, you know, Leatherface knows best.
Yeah, it's good. I'm glad that he knows best.
Well, I want to get into this thing. So we got the Eagles rankings, but I want to ask you guys, and be honest with me, is it wise, the whole Cowboy-Eagles rivalry washed? Is it over? And I was like, man, part of me felt bad. Like, I often mourn Sixers Celtics. Because even like last year, when both teams are good, it's not the same.
No. My rivalry was Phillies Mets. That was my rivalry as a child. And Flyers Penguins. But that, I mean, dude, like, I can't get up for Flyers Penguins anymore.
No.
Like, if we, you know, even years ago, a couple of years ago, I couldn't get up for Flyers Penguins because the Penguins are winning cups. The Flyers are getting bounced.
No.
Second round.
I agree.
So that rivalry was Phillies Mets, Flyers Penguins, my childhood. But Sixers Celtics, I had them go in game 7 in the second round of the playoffs when they had a super team.
Right.
You know, but was that really a rivalry?
Dude, I hear you, man. And I when I talk to this guy, right, I left. And it was a nice account, a nice conversation. But I left mourning the death of the Eagles-Cowboys rivalry. Like, I guess, you know, there's only a handful of people that care about it. Like, I see that helmet. I still feel the same way. But it's not fun if, A, the rest of the Eagle fans don't feel that way, or, B, there are no Cowboy fans anymore.
6 months. Embarrassed.
I guess. 610-632-0975. We're going to open up the phone lines. And I need a lot of feedback from you guys today on where we stand. Does it still matter?
I laughed at the bumper sticker, man. I didn't even feel the blood boil anymore.
Wow.
It was funny to me.
Funny.
Like, the Mets have been irrelevant. I know the Mets are doing good this year, but when I still see the blue and orange, like, I do get angry. I go, what the hell are you wearing that hat around here for?
Yeah, but those people that wear Mets hats are from Queens. There's no Philadelphia people wearing Met hats.
I see a lot of it down the shore.
Okay, but they're from New York.
Yeah, no, I know, but I know.
So, but to me, that doesn't make me angry. It was our own. It was the traitors. Those people that would make me angry. 610-632-0975. 11 a.m. across the Delaware Valley. Throwing a little football today. And is it the death of the rivalry? So let's take a little bit of the sampling. The death of the rivalry, Eagles and Cowboys. Can you believe it, Chunis? Is that possible? Is it over?
So Tony checks in, and I wonder if this is a factor for some people. Tony goes, this year I feel more of a rivalry with Washington because of Carson.
Yeah,
I want to beat them bad more than Dallas.
Really?
I mean, there's a lot of Carson hate. People hate Carson.
I know.
Which I still kind of find weird. Without him, you don't win the Super Bowl. That's the weirdest thing to me. We will always be so emotionally attached to that team, yet that player and the GM, Howie, will forever be disliked in this city. Now, every story you hear from Carson, it's not like it helps.
Okay.
Right? Like this fight with Darren Sproles, like, that stuff doesn't help.
Wait, the dislike. You can't dislike Howie now.
No, people will still always feel a certain type of way. We ran the poll a couple of weeks ago. Like, who do you trust the most? And they're like, well, I'm forgetting about the trust.
Yeah, well, okay, but you look at the roster, right? It's a good job.
No, it is. And,
you know, like
he deserves credit.
Right. Like, I mean, what's here to hate? There's nothing to hate.
But people still feel a weird way about him.
You think?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I'm going to give credit where credit's due.
Because the Carson thing is, like, I get it at the time, but the Carson thing is clear that
it was him.
It was him. Like, you know.
He's got fleas.
I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to believe it, but I don't know. I don't know what happened.
My point is, when you talk about every player, coach, personnel of the Eagles from the 2017-18 season, oh, I love that guy, love that guy, love that guy, love that guy. And you get that from pretty much everybody. When you get to Wentz, no. When you get to Howie, no. Even Doug, people will forever love Doug. Forever love Doug. And he didn't last much longer after that.
Yeah, but
people hate Carson and still dislike Howie.
But again, why? It just can't be over
Carson. I get why.
It just can't be over Justin Jefferson. I mean, let's face it. The DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson, and those two drafts. All right, I agree they were bad.
Yeah,
but other than those two drafts, everything else he did has been good.
Yeah, he had a great draft last year, and it looks like this draft for this upcoming
trades season, have always been good.
Yeah, and I just went through the contracts.
Signings have been good. He's always been able to navigate the cap well. I mean, what's that? You got to tell me, what's
if I were to ask people to say, do you like Howie Rosen or not? I guarantee you it's still kind of split 50-50.
I'm not saying you got to be, you know, first of all, GMs are, it's hard to be a fan of a GM, right? Because we all think we could do that job.
Right.
So I get nobody's, you're not going to go, yay, GM, right? Even Maury, who gets a lot of love, I mean, you know, you're not going, yay, GM. So yeah. I get that. But I mean, like, to me, it should be, you know, like, yeah, dude, quality dude. Like, quality GM, good GM. And that's it. Like, no parade. You're not wearing the GM jersey.
No. There's no Roseman jerseys out there.
Right. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So that's my point. So I'm wondering, you have Howie on one side. He's been sort of, I think in my mind, he's been cleansed. Wins the Super Bowl and is able to overcome the loss of a franchise quarterback and turns over the coach who won the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
And is back on the radar. Well, that's pretty impressive, though.
No, I'm saying that. That's my point. I'm with you. But I know that there's still people that go, yeah, I don't know
what's to give me. Yeah, yeah, why? And then the other thing that we got to discuss is, is it done? Like, I can't believe it's done. The Cowboy thing's croaked.
Our man Jamal checks in.
What'd he say?
I went to, this one. He's 43, and he hates the Giants more than the Cowboys.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. So I'll be honest, I dislike the Giants more.
Wow. He likes the Giants. He hates the Giants more. Okay, so let me ask you this: does it stir anything in him? Like, you know, you still hate the Cowboys. You may hate the Giants more.
Yeah, no, I hate them. Especially week of, you know, the Cowboys week. But I think that, I mean, you listen, man, you've been doing radio for a couple of minutes, right? The Eagles, Cowboys, let's book the guests, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to talk about the stories and talk about the hate. We've noticed that kind of go away the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, it's funny because you've noticed, I have not gotten on all those.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Those old cowboy people and this and that. I haven't done it.
Yeah. And then you start thinking it, like, all right.
Because I don't know that people even, like, again, I'm not.
Well, and here's the thing. So then you start going, all right, so who's that next wave of Cowboys players that we're supposed to hate? Zeke? Well, okay, he's cooked. Romo? He didn't do anything. He didn't win. Roy Williams? Like, that's probably it. Because he hurt T.O., right? Yeah. Like, but other than that, is there a guy? You know, from the Sean Lee guy was hurt, unfortunately, every other day.
I mean, they got Micah.
Yeah, now. But I'm talking about when we do the let's book the old Cowboys players. Like, let's try to get Deion on. Let's try to get all. You know, I don't want to say that's too far in the past because, no, like, you're still going to want to get those guys on. You still want to hear from Michael Irvin. But the 2000s Cowboys, the late 2000s Cowboys. There's not a guy that you go, oh, we got to get that guy on because we know people hate him. Like, Tony Romo's kind of harmless.
Right.
Especially now that he's doing games. Like,
right.
Don't feel a certain type of way.
Right.
There's no hate from those Cowboys teams.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Yeah, but dude, it's still them. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it to you. Maybe it's just because I was beat over the head with it.
I think
but,
you know,
but not only that, dude, it was also, like, they're real, those people. Those people, those Cowboy fans that would call up. I mean, it would be a random summer day, and they would call up to bust balls.
Yes.
You know what that was like?
No, I don't. I don't know what it's like. Like, I know the Cowboys fans that have called in, but they got nothing to stand on anymore and haven't had anything to stand on in a while.
Dude, I can't explain it to you. It's they would call up and if, and I wonder, because Scott brought up a good point. Now, I wish I could access my Instagram but I just caught a little bit of his message, and it says that the Eagles winning the Super Bowl destroyed the Eagles-Cowboys rivalry.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with
that. That was the ultimate shut-up piece, right? Shoe piece to all Cowboy fans. Like, they can't say anymore about
no ring.
No ring. They can't do it.
The only thing they can say is, well, let me know when you win a second one. But here's the thing. It's been 20 plus years.
Right. Like, that has no... That's a laughable statement.
Your kids are graduating high school. Well, they just did, right? School year's over. That have never seen Cowboys success.
Right. My point is that that's laughable. So, that's just a... The only thing that hurt... Think about insults. The only insults that hurt you are the ones that you feel self-conscious about, right?
Yeah.
It hit home.
Yeah, and that ring thing did.
Right. It was like, oh, my God. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, you're right.
We're losers, right? Like, there's that mode where we can't say anything. Like, we can't say nothing. We, you know. And it was a terrible, terrible predicament to be in because they would hold the ring over you. Like, standing on your chest with the ring.
Yep.
And now it's done. And couple that, like, it'd be one thing if they were still good winning Super Bowls, but they stink, right?
Yeah. I mean, and we're, you know, I always bring this up as a joke because I never understood the, I'd rather win. I'd rather be 14-2 and lose both games of the Cowboys than go 2-14 and win both games against the Cowboys. Because remember that old school saying?
Yes.
But now that the Eagles have won, And now that, like, winning matters, is anyone thinking that anymore? Like, that old saying of, I don't care if they go 2-15 now.
I know.
As long as those two wins are against Cowboys. No.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that anymore. That passion is gone, man. That passion is gone. A lot of it had to do with Buddy. Right? Because Buddy hated the Cowboys. Like, does Nick Sirianni hate the Cowboys? He wears a Beat Dallas shirt, but...
Yeah, but I mean, listen, he understands that that's our thing.
There's no beef. Like, what beef is there? There's no Eagles-Cowboys beef.
I guess that. And it was palpable. Do you remember the story about Harold Carmichael looking at himself in the mirror wearing the Cowboys uniform?
Oh, yeah, and he's done.
I mean, that's pretty deep.
Yeah.
If they put the uniform on, it was nothing. Wow. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Dave, the mailman. Davey!
Yo, Anthony, how you doing, man? It's mailman Davey.
What's going on, Davey boy?
I'm good, man. Little disclaimer here. I've been a Cowboy fan almost 30 years, man. And I'm a Philly native, but I actually agree with the guy. I'm a realist, man. I'm running a more realist-minded Cowboy fans you'll ever meet. And we haven't been successful. We haven't earned, you know, the right to talk the trash we talked during the 90s and the early 2000s.
Well, so it's dead. So you got nothing to say. Like, you got
no.
And the Eagles, and you realize, Davey, that the Eagles are a better franchise.
I would say once and it's funny that you guys said that a couple minutes ago. I was going to open with that. Once the Eagles won the Super Bowl, it took it down a notch.
Yeah,
it took it down a couple notches. I got like eight guy friends of ours, and I say about three or four of us are Cowboys fans. You know, we talk our trash when it's time to play, but I think the rivalry now is more nationalized than it is personal. Like, when you see Eagles Cowboys on like Sunday Night Football, they still pipe it up.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't pipe it up like we do, you know, in the city of Philadelphia.
Well, it was real, but with the way we used to do it, it was real. Yeah. Like, I'll be honest with you, Davey. Like, if this was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I look at you a certain way, like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a part of me that still goes. Like, but now I kind of just feel sorry for you.
Yeah, like
you just went against the family, and now, you know, there's nowhere else to go. Like, you're just out in the cold.
Like, listen, I've never been like bored up to, like, you know, the home team thing. Like, my stepdad, he's an Eagles fan, but he never really pushed it on us, you know, to be, you know, root for the Eagles. And when I caught on to football, you know, the only thing I saw was John Madden and Pat Summerall on Fox, Cowboys this.
Yeah,
Cowboys,
no, I hear you. No, listen, that was everybody. But here's what I never understood: is that you just said the home team thing. Yeah, but like, you're, when you become old enough to understand, when you have the city in front of the team, it's about your city. It's about the zip code.
Yeah, but by that time, I was years dug in. There's no going back.
Well, how old? I mean, you know, once you're...
I'll be 42 this year.
Yeah, but once you turn, 20, I mean, that's the time for conversion.
Yeah, but once I turn 20, I'm already a Cowboys fan for, 12, 13 years now? You know?
Yeah, yeah. I still don't, you know, it's a shame. I guess it is all about parenting.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, part of me almost feels sorry for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, brother? Yeah, Davey, what a good call, man.
Yeah, no, listen, I listen to you guys for like the last three, 4 years, man. I listen to you guys all day long until 6 o'clock when I'm done doing my mail. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Davey. We appreciate it, brother. We do, man. That's a lot of fun. And very good, very interesting insight you give. So we appreciate that, pal.
If I had a percentage as far as the rivalry, I say it's at like 55.
Okay, so it's out of 10, it's 5.5. It's not, where back in the day, it was
150.
Yeah. And the color was red. Like, now it's you know, it's like tepid. It's like light blue.
Yeah, but I tell you, Monday Night Football on Sunday.
I know. It was the best.
I think they still kind of pipe it up more than we do in our in our own cities. You know what I'm saying?
I get you. Good stuff, Davey. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. I guess that makes sense. I get, you know, the idea that he said it. When the Eagles win the Super Bowl, that's the stamp. They got nothing to say.
Yeah. I mean, that was the number one thing they kept on saying. And now Maurice checks it. He goes, I'm 35. I hate the Giants more. Here's some fun facts. NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, their first hits. It was AI's rookie year. Tupac died. And Friday was a new release movie. All the last time the Cowboys made a deep playoff run.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long time ago, man.
It's been a
minute. A long time ago.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, that's why I now laugh when I see the logo on a jersey-plated car.
Now, I can never laugh, but I hear you. Now, my man VP says, it is interesting, that in any discussion, war of words between rival fans, you should never be able to invoke a ring that's over 10 years old. Okay. What do you think of that?
I think that's a good deal. Or at least invoke a ring that you weren't born for. Like, that's definitely something too. Like, there's still Yankees fans. There's like 12-year-old Yankees fans. They had 27 rings.
I mean, you should be able to stand on your law. You should be able to, like, your franchise history should stand for something. See, I kind of disagree with it.
Yeah, but you can't get chesty if you're like 15 and you're a Yankees fan.
Why? It's part of it's part of the lineage of your squad. Now, again, you have to be born in the region, but if you're a Yankee fan, everything's fair game. It's part of your rich history. That happens. It's like, you know, we live in a great country, don't we?
Yes.
Right?
2-0. Well,
you know,
we're 2-0.
I mean, you look back at history, you should be able to be proud of your history. Of what you've accomplished as whatever.
Back-to-back World War champs, man.
Derek, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, guys?
First what's going on? Hey, welcome, brother.
Hey, so I got a quick story from yesterday about a Cowboys fan. So my girlfriend is at the local Toyota dealership getting a new car, and she's in the room with the finance guys. And they start talking about the Baker news and all that. And she's like, oh, what are you guys, Panthers fans? And they go, yeah, by like proximity. Then she's like explaining that I'm from South Jersey and an Eagles fan. And the main guy is training a younger guy. And he looks up and he goes, oh, I'm from Philly too. And she goes, oh, are you an Eagles fan? And he goes, no, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Oh,
I wish I was there.
What? Oh, no.
It's disgraceful.
Oh my God! You know, there's nothing worse than that. Like that, you live outside the region, and you encounter one of your brethren, one of your brothers, and he tells you he's a rat. Ah, it's awful. Damn!
Like, dang! I wish I was there.
I know, Derek. You're probably like, what? What a cretin! That's horrible. Oh my God! How long you been down there?
Just moved to Spartanburg a couple of months ago. I was up in Charlotte for a few years, born and raised in South Jersey, went to Rutgers, all that, so 4 for 4.
You miss it?
Yeah, I miss it. I try to get back a couple times a year, try to get to a game.
It's good you're close, so that's good.
Actually, a little Philly sports trivia down here. I think it was back in like the set. I'm walking down Main Street, Spartanburg, and there's these baseball stadium chairs with the Phillies logo on them. I think it was back in the 70s or 80s. One of the minor league teams was down here in Spartanburg. I didn't know that.
Really? Get out. I didn't know that. What Eagles running back went to South Carolina? University of South Carolina. Eagles running back in this century.
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
He's now an assistant coach.
I know the Alcon went to South
Carolina. Yeah. Deuce Staley.
Deuce.
Little Deuce. Deuce was South Carolina Gamecock. My brother.
There you go.
Great to talk to you, buddy. You call anytime, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right? You're going to come up to FanFest. You let us know.
All right, I will.
All right, buddy. Take care. 610-632-0975. Got a couple of lines. This is a fun conversation. I'm learning. So, like, I'm learning a lot.
Screw you, creepo.
No more. No more creepos. The creepos are dead. Can it be? You want to get in? 610-632-0975. I don't know why that makes me laugh every time. It won't.
It won't.
Cuz Radio. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers. That's where Philly gets engaged. Today is 7-7. Junis, do you know what happened on 7-7 last year when it comes to the Eagles?
They signed Anthony Harris. I don't know.
On 7-7 last year, the Eagles removed the picture of Carson Wentz from Lincoln Financial Field.
It was really embarrassing it took that long.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing.
I know.
And then they just put a drape over it for a while, I'm pretty sure. And I get, like, they had to find the replacement, but it wasn't that hard to think of the replacement. It was the Lombardi Trophy. Like, did they have, like, a group of people in a room, like, what should we replace Carson's photo with?
I know, dude. I mean, that was still bizarre, was it not?
Yeah, it took way too long to take that thing down. Man, that story still, it will forever be a mystery to me. The Wentz story. Like, until there's a deep dive, right? Or a 30-30 or something. You know what I mean?
This thing was up there. Like, how insane is that?
Yeah, because the trade happened in, what, March?
Yeah.
Let me see when the trade happened.
But his picture was up there. You know, it was funny because when you think about it, does his picture deserve to be up there?
I understood why they did it.
No, even in the beginning. He didn't belong there.
I wonder when they put it up. Did they put it up post rookie season?
I guess.
Or did they put up after the Super
remember.
Bowl to be like, Carson, you're our guy?
It's been T. Will Knowledge on that thing.
It's good work. By the way, it was February he got traded. So 5 months it took them to take that thing down. That's a bad look.
It's a horrible look.
You can't have that thing up
like,
for 5 months.
Could you imagine, like, you're leaving, you're Wentz, you're leaving town, and on your way out, you see,
looking at that.
You're looking at yourself.
Yeah, he had a drive to the airport. Probably saw it.
Right?
He was coming from Jersey.
Yeah. And he sees himself. If I were him, I'd go the other way.
Yeah, right.
Go over the, what is it? What's the bridge off of 322?
Commodore Barry?
Yeah. Go over that bridge. So this way you don't see it. But that, isn't that?
Oh, he'd see, then he probably sees it in the air.
But you know what? It should be a rule. Anything like that, like your picture that big on a stadium, should never be a current player. It should be off past service because you never want to give the current player that come to the stadium on game day and you see yourself. No good.
I remember when the Nationals signed Jason Wirth. I believe it was in center field. They had a huge billboard of Wirth. And I remember that because, like, the Phillies played them early on, and I was like, oh, man, that sucks, seeing that big billboard of Jason Wirth.
How'd that work out for them?
It didn't work out.
You never do that. You can't do that's the idolatry rule. You can't do it.
I like what the Phillies do with the different players of the roster when you walk around the concourse.
Yeah, that's
I think that's kind of cool.
That's fun. But that's not. How big is that thing?
Yeah, it was huge. Side of the whole damn stadium.
I know. That thing's as big as a building. Like, no. The Phillies do is appropriate. Let me go to Joe. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joey! What's up, Joe?
Yo, how are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, brother.
The other day, you guys were talking about, you know, wishing away the summer, going for football, football, football. I'm like, cut me a break, man. Let me do the summer with the kids. Now, Andrew, you got me fired up. Screw the kids, screw the ocean, screw the summer. Let's go. First, there will always be Dallas heat. That's the thing you're taught as a kid. Screw Dallas, Dallas, you know. So, Dallas fans, all them, they're a character flaw they have. You know, they're the same type of dudes who will sit out with you and they'll try to make a move on your girl or something like that.
See that? See, Tunis, you know? I told you that that there is still alive somewhere.
Can't trust them.
I know.
Yeah.
Tell them, Tunis.
You need to learn up on these things.
But there is let me ask you, is it, you got to be a certain age?
I'm 43.
I said the cutoff is 40.
Yeah.
If you're under 40.
Hate.
Right. If you're under 40, I know. You got
no hate for Tony Romo. Come on, man. Of course you hate Tony Romo. The dude's got a commercial for Skechers. He's a clown.
Oh, my God, I love you. You're the best. Oh, my God. That's right. He is, especially with that face. Come on, he's a hate the face.
Yeah, the whole team, everybody, the Ewoks, the Leatherface, all of them.
Yes.
Stop it. We hate Dallas. We always will hate Dallas, no matter what.
Please, don't ever lose that, because it's making me sad. I feel like
don't
it's over.
Don't waste young Starbucks drinkers, Ant. Don't waste your soul.
What's wrong with Starbucks?
I got one in front of me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Come on, hold a grudge, shoot it. We hate Dallas.
You are awesome, Joe. I love you, man.
Thank you.
You got to call again, buddy.
You got it.
All right, brother. That is fantastic. That actually made me feel better. Tunis?
Yeah, he had one guy.
Yeah, but I mean, I'll be honest with you. I felt sad. At least there's somebody else out there. Like him and Kay Will, right? Gabriel. Gabriel still hates the Cowboys.
I mean, I think people still hate the Cowboys. I just don't think that it's the same level of hatred.
I think it's... I don't think it's the
same level of hatred. That guy had to go millennial issues, right? He had to go Starbucks drinkers. He's trying to find ways to hate the Cowboys as much. Like, how do you actually hate Tony Romo? He did nothing against you, really.
Well, I mean, come on. You don't like Tony Romo.
I don't like Tony Romo a little bit. I hate him. I don't like him in the booth. And it has nothing to do with the Cowboys thing. I think he's annoying.
I actually like him in the booth.
I think he's so
annoying. But, so my man Vinny says, because I'm 34, in my prime teen years of Eagles football, the Cowboys sucked and the Giants were good. That's why I hate the Giants more than the Cowgirls, just like Tunis.
Yeah.
What, same thing?
Now, the age thing you mentioned, he was above the cutoff line. He was above the age of 40.
Right. And Vinny, 34, below 40.
Yeah, like my dad, still have he hates the Cowboys, forever will. He wears the damn shirt with the kid peeing on the Cowboys logo still.
So, you know, is that it? Is that what it is? Gabriel says, this is a good line. I'm 41. Bleep every person that has ever and will ever put on the disgusting Cowboy jersey. I'll pee on that till the day I die.
All right.
Now, there's something that is comforting in that message.
I still remember the draft when they had the different... Remember they had all the different players, like the mannequins with the jerseys on?
Yes.
And there was the one guy that climbed up and put his ass on the head of the
guy. Yeah, that was great.
That was awesome.
That was great. That was fantastic. Let's go to where we at. Nicky! Yo, Nick!
Gentlemen.
What do you say about man?
I say very, very interesting discussion. And I was telling Haley that when I was younger, I had a lot of sports hate. I mean, I had a lot of sports hate. Mets, Dallas, Giants for a little bit. Boston, of course, the Celtics. Rangers, Islanders. I mean, Pittsburgh was something new because Pittsburgh was never any good till Crosby and Lemieux got there. But I got to say, I don't have – I'm like Chip Kelly now. I got the all-same teams, 1-16, 8 home, 8 away. I have a slight Chip Kelly gene in me right now.
Nah, you just moved on. You just moved your hate to Ben. That was it.
Yeah. You know what? You sucked all my hate.
Wait a second, Nicky. But, Nicky, they're all 1-16. They're no special. Lions. The only person that hates the Lions tonight, that was Andrew. It's you is the only person that hates the Lions.
That's ridiculous. I don't understand that. What did the Lions ever do to anybody? I mean, they just suffered.
Well, they hired
a cannibal, but I'm not bringing that up anymore. Yeah. That's the last time I mentioned it.
I got that. You know what I do need? You guys hit a really interesting topic. We need, the land is now established. The borders have been secured by the general, even though he doesn't want to use that title. We need.
I know he's out on the general title. General T.Y. Johnson. T.Y. Johnson.
Yeah, we're a new nation and we're evolving. So I understand his point of view. But
still
we
need a general. I'm sorry, just in case.
You can't boast your rings or your pennants or your trophies if your birth was nowhere close to any of those chips.
Wow, really?
Grandfather some things like 27 pennants, I get that, in World Series. I get that, but you can't be a one-and-done or a two-and-done and they're 40 years apart and walk around like you're the king.
This is a great... You ready?
Go ahead.
What happens to the Flyers?
They're in the same... I don't want to say Cowboys because Cowboys won a little recent. The Sixers and the Flyers are fading quick.
Wow.
75, 76, 80, Sixers or 83.
You're right. Listen, I mean, it's almost like, you know, in Back to the Future where he starts to like fade
and
he's not going to come. Reality.
You're so far away from reality that you start to fade into oblivion.
Oblivion waits.
I'm running out of time. Real quick, I'm watching 13 in the Westworld, and there's one line that a robot says, "You're never extinct until the last person that remembers you fades away." And I feel like that's where the Flyers are right now.
Oh my God!
Gotta remember that trophy and the Stanley.
Oh my God! That's
what trophy is that? By the way,
brilliant.
Stanley.
What trophy? Oh, okay.
Oh my God!
Oh, all right.
That's probably been more than double of my lifetime since they won.
Wow. Miss Ron is rocking Flyers today, too.
Nice. The draft is tonight.
That's interesting that if the last person, there's got to be somebody that remembers witnessing the title. To allow it to exist. Wow. Let's go. That's deep, man. Reef, you're on 97.5. Yo, Reef.
Yo, cuz.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, listen. I was listening to the rival thing with the Cowboys and all that. I was born to hate the Cowboys, though. Embedded in me just to not like the Cowboys, though. But why do the nation, like, they had the top 10 sports rivalries? They had Eagles-Giants number one.
What? On why?
On NFL Network. They did the top 10 NFL.
Really?
And they had the Cowboys and Eagles, believe it or not, they had them number 9 or number 8.
I guess part of it has to do with
proximity.
Yeah, you know, listen, Eagles Giants have had some great, and plus recency bias, right? And they've had some great, you know, rivalries, right? Like B West, you know, great games. Yeah, you know. So I guess that's what they did.
But how could you be born here, from here, and be a Cowboy fan? My uncle is a Cowboy fan. My grandfather is a Cowboy fan.
You and I, now how old are you?
I'm 40.
There you go. Just the cutoff, man. 40's the cutoff. I think that's, we stumbled onto something, man. And you know what it is, too? Like, those dudes that were Cowboy fans, they were just creeps, right?
Oh, God, they are annoying.
They're creeps. And they would always, and there was a certain, they all had a certain characteristic, most of them, right? Like, they were ball breakers to the nth degree. They were relentless.
Yes. Yes. One more thing for you, cut me off, man.
Yeah, now,
my family, we all, majority of us, I say 98% of us are Eagle fans.
Uh-huh.
Is it fair to say there's a Cowboy fan in every family in the United States?
You know what? I hear you. It's probably right. There's probably somebody in everybody's family. You know, you got to go cousins, right? You got to have cousins involved. Like, you know, you got to have extended family. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, and they're so annoying. And they are. And there's always, they're that guy, man. That dude who just, you go, shut up.
I was in jail, right? I was in state penitentiary, right? And the whole thing in 2010 is before we won. All I hear was, y'all don't have any rings.
Y'all don't have any rings.
We finally get a ring. You want to know what they said to that?
What?
You still got five.
Reef!
And it kills me.
Oh, it's horrible, Reef!
They say, we still got more to y'all. We still got four more to y'all.
Oh, my God. They just can't give it up, Reef.
They can't let it go, man.
Nah, man. Man, listen.
I learned to live with it.
You know what? It's sweeter, though. Once we win, a lot of that just go. It don't mean anything because now it's like clown, right? Before it hurt, but now they're clowns.
I can't lie. It used to hurt. It used to cut deep.
Deep. I used to get mad. I'm doing the show, Reef, and they would come at me. It would hurt, brother. It would hurt. Listen, you watch yourself. Hey, what's that?
It's like we the Arizona Cardinals.
Exactly. And by the way, they're from here. Like, it's not like you're from Dallas.
Good. I understand it.
You got to call again, Reef.
All right, thanks, Zach.
Thanks, babe. I mean, serious. Are you kidding me? Tunis, you know, part of the other thing, too, is... You didn't get any battles, Cowboy battles.
No, because there haven't been any.
But when you were, like, I'm curious, like, when you're going to school.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that wore Cowboys jerseys.
But you didn't get any beef?
No, I talked about my bus. I've said it. My bus had, like, 10 different people that were Cowboys fans. It was the weirdest thing. I had, like, this weird population of Cowboys fans in my development. But it was Romo jerseys. You know, so we did.
Was there any?
We bickered.
Was there any? Yeah, but it was.
No, I never threw hands. It never reached that point.
There was no. It never got ugly.
They also had no room to stand on because the Eagles, even though they didn't win a Super Bowl, they were in the NFC Championship game 4 years in a row.
But it never got ugly?
No, because I laughed.
See, that's the difference. I think that's the difference.
Might be.
Like, yo, listen. Like, dude, I mean, it was serious. I mean, it was, I mean, I'm on the air, right? Like, it's 2000 and, you know, let's take 2003. I'll go to January 2003. When the Eagles lose to Tampa, I'm on the air and I'm doing the postscript.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Like, it's, you know, I mean, the whole town's hurting. And hurting for weeks. So it's sometime after they lose that championship game. And dude, I get a call, and it starts like this. Now, I ask you, Tunis, when that Cowboy fan tackled, Tunis, when you're still upset that the Eagles lost.
You don't want to hear that.
To close the vet. What are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek? Or punch it? All right? And you tell me you hate the job.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's more. There's a tiki barber. Tiki barber might as well be a tiki torch compared to the Cretans that lived among us. The freaking creeps that would rub your nose in it.
Yeah, that was only a couple of years removed from their last Super Bowl. It's almost been, what, coming up on 3 decades.
I think you had to endure that.
And I didn't. It's been 24 years.
No, it's not even that. It's even the Cowboy fans that you encountered were these benign little, like, you know.
Roaches?
Well, they were just, not even roaches. No, they're just benign, you know, little oopaloopas. They can't hurt you. Six. 610-632-0975.
You
plan out your meals? Lunchtime, you go, all right, well, you know.
I got no lunch.
What are you having later?
I went with the fruit salad for the breakfast today.
Nice.
A nice
choice.
It was a good time. I had a couple people over for the fourth, and so I bought a bunch of fruit. Christy wanted to do the fruit salad for the guests, but my buddy...
That's a nice item.
My buddy also brought a fruit salad, so then we had
leftover fruit. Oh, you had the double fruit salad?
So I had some left over, so I brought some today.
Now, what consisted of the... Now, you always have to have a couple of melons.
I refuse.
What do you mean? Oh, you're anti-melon?
Like the cantaloupe and the honeydew, I'm out. That stuff's just a waste of space.
Really?
So I went... My melon was a
watermelon.
You
like a good loupe?
No.
You don't like cantaloupe?
It's a waste of space. Chewing on air, pretty much. I went with the water.
Now, I will admit this. A no-taste cantaloupe honeydew is bad. But a strong tasting is delicious.
No, and if you go to any of these places that go, here's your fruit salad, they throw those in there to take up space, even though they don't taste like anything. So I went with the watermelon.
It's an inferior...
Yes!
Product?
The honeydew and the cantaloupe, to me, is the equivalent of the air inside the bag of chips. Like, you buy the bag of chips, it looks like there's a lot in there, but there's really like 12, and it's like 80% air.
Yes.
That's pretty much the cantaloupe and the honeydew for me when it comes to the fruit salad. So I built my own today. Watermelon, pineapple, the blueberry, some grapes, and strawberry.
Watermelon... Pineapple. I like the pineapple,
love the
too.
Pineapple.
Love the watermelon. Love the pineapple. What else?
A little blueberry action is filler.
Dude, there's a blueberry bush, and I'll give you as many as you want.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Are you sure they're not poisonous?
No.
All right, that's good.
No, they I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah, what else?
The strawberry.
Love the strawberry. The
grape. I'm a fan of the grape.
And, what kind?
It was a little mixed green and red.
All right.
And then there was one other thing I said. I forget already.
All
right. But it was good. We're going to go the Christy found.
The only thing I don't like about the fruit salad is they discriminate against the citrus.
I get you. I got you.
I'm a citrus man.
For dinner today. Excited.
All right. I knew you knew. Like, if you ask me what I'm having,
you have
dinner,
no idea.
No clue.
Christy found, I forget what store she was at. It might have just been ShopRite for all I know. This seasoning packet. It's the General So's seasoning. So we're going to try that out tonight. See if it's any good. You're out. Well, why? What's wrong?
Listen, you do you.
What's wrong? No. What's wrong with it? Do you not like General So's, or do you not like the season? Oh, well, then, okay.
No. It's the packet.
All right. Yeah, we're going to see what
it's
like.
It's not the authentic.
No, it's not authentic. But we're going to see if it's any good.
It's like this powder and make it. It's going to be like this. Why don't you actually cook it the right way and make it instead of going with give you the fake me out, you know, packet.
Oh, man, give it a shot. See if it's any good.
No, but you could actually make the sauce. Make the sauce.
Yeah, that's extra time. Yeah, we did the fajitas yesterday. We made it ourselves.
Well, it's hard.
That's not. Well, I'm just saying, like today.
You chopped up onions and peppers and you put chicken on the grill. How hard is that?
Yeah, it was delicious. Sure, you would have enjoyed it. Well, we'll see, man. We'll see how the So's packet goes.
You go with the So. I go with no So. Stanley! My man, Stan. What's happening, baby?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's happening with you?
Listen. I want to first say that... let me first say that I'm 33, okay?
Okay.
Out the way, I'm 33. I can't stand the Cowboys. I absolutely hate them. I wish we had this conversation before, and I told you if I had three wishes, one would be to end world hunger, two would be generational wealth, and three would be for the Cowboys to have an 0-16 season for 10 years.
So
those are the three wishes I would have.
I commend you on those wishes too. Like I think, first of all, the fact that you think masses first, which is a beautiful thing. I also think you're an old soul.
I think you got a lot of
wisdom and a lot of heart.
The reason I don't care about the Giants is because we've been owning the Giants for the last, like, I don't know how long. I'm not even kidding. For the last, like, maybe 10 years, the Giants being on the schedule, I always pencil in as two wins. I'm not even kidding.
I think you should rebut
it. But Stan's right. Even when the Eagles were, when the Giants won the Super Bowl, the Eagles were winning their rivalry matchups. But I had a sense of jealousy because the Giants were winning the Super Bowls.
I'm about to get to that, though. Because my thing was this. I always said that had we actually played them in the playoffs any of the Super Bowl years, I felt like we would have beat them. But okay, that's neither here nor there. The real issue, when you really want to break it down, fellas, the real issue isn't really the Cowboys as a franchise. It's really their fan base. Because they live in this delusional world.
Right.
Every other fan base, like you think about it, Yankees fans, Lakers fans, Boston fans, these fans actually have rights to talk because their teams are still relevant in the sense that they're either going to the championship or winning the championship in recent years.
Correct.
Cowboys fans, they haven't done anything, literally, since the early 90s. So for you to sit here and talk to me about championships, like, think about it. The last time they were relevant winning championships, the Bulls were winning championships, right? Yet you never hear any Bulls fans, any Chicago fans that I've ever talked to talk about, well, we got six rings. They never talk about that. Even through the whole Derrick
Rose. I think you're right.
They don't talk about that because they know it's about what have you done for me lately.
Yep.
So when it comes to Cowboys, they've had fantastic players that we would want on our teams and all that. The franchise, whatever you think about Jerry Jones, it really comes down to their fan base thinking that they're on par with teams like the Patriots, the Yankees, the Lakers, where you're like, wait a minute.
Well, that's why I just laughed.
The last few years.
That's why I just laughed.
But you said you hate the Giants. I hate the Giants.
Yes, but you're saying you hate the Giants.
Like, right.
I grew up hating the Giants more, yeah.
I don't care about that. Because to me, it's like, yeah, y'all won some Super Bowls, but y'all know what it is.
Right.
You've been whooping y'all butt for the last how long? Like, y'all know that. The Cowboys fans, they're the ones, like, because you know you might win some, you lose some. I was there. I was watching Bradley Fletcher getting cooked.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On multiple plays.
The other aspect is, Stan, I'll ask you this, too. Because to me, the biggest piece of the rivalry is also the fact that the locals, Like,
yeah,
do you
thing. Yeah.
Do you have local Cowboy fans in your circle that you've encountered through your life?
I have, and I got one more question to ask y'all after this. I got one of my best friends, my boy, at work, everything. He is one of the biggest Cowboys fans. We go back and
wound you. Yeah.
And that's what it is because the thing is, he's from Philly.
Yeah, that's the point.
So I look at it. A lot of the New York Giants fans that I know are actually from New York.
Right. They're real people. Yes.
Right. Whereas the Cowboys fans, it's like you ask them, oh, you, yeah, I'm a Sixers fan. I'm a Flyers fan. I'm a Philly fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. Excuse me?
I know.
Like, sir, what? It doesn't even make any sense.
Dude, there was Phillies and Cowboys fans. Like, what? Like, that you can't root for the Phillies?
Yo. What's up with some fan fest, man? I'm trying to get back.
Yeah, hold on, bud. You got to stay. Come on, you know I got you. Hold on, my brother. Of course, man. You got it, Stanley. Dude, there was Phillies Cowboys fans.
Yeah, it's gross.
You imagine?
That's disgusting.
You're sitting, and this is what I mean, and this is what people don't understand. You're sitting at Citizens Bank Park, and the guy next to you, you don't know, is wearing a Phillies hat. Same hat you're wearing. And the Phillies take a 4-1 lead on a Schwarber home run, his 62nd of the year. And you turn them and you hug. And you go, what a day. What a great day. My man. You feel this kinship. And then all of a sudden, beneath the Phillies jersey is a Cowboy t-shirt.
I'll do you one worse.
And he's stabbing you in the back because you might be celebrating, hugging now, but what happens on Sundays in the fall?
I'll do you one worse. You said Citizens Bank Park. Veterans Stadium, the Eagles played in that stadium as well as the Phillies.
Yes.
So that same Phillies fan that you were talking about was inside the stadium of the Eagles.
My point, that's why I never understood the Giants. Like, I get the team itself, the Giants. I understand, you know, they had those, you know, two amazing runs. But they were wild card runs. Like, they were unthinkable
in
a lot of ways.
The Eagles were winning 13 games and couldn't win, so it was a sense of jealousy that was born in the hatred.
Yeah, I just think it's meager hate compared to the Cowboy rivalry.
Yeah, I just laugh at Dallas now.
All right, speaking of the Phillies, we got my man John from Hazleton.
That should go well.
All right, now, I'm a little fearful because of the L last night.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping John does not believe the sky is falling. Even though center field is very grisly right
now. Black hole.
Yes, it's like the Black Forest, right? Like, you know. And Odubel took a ball through the forest last night instead of going to the clear path. Let's go to John. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John, hey.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up, John?
I will just say this. Is it not true what we just witnessed last night with that bum in center field who shouldn't even be a Philly? But I want to say this, cuz.
Yes.
I can't believe I screwed up the name yesterday with Rizzo. It's my mistake.
No. We know.
No, but every time I hear this guy's name, it goes back to my cousin Vinny, and there's the name. Frickin' Gallo, and there he was.
Oh, yeah, Gallo. Oh, yeah, Gallo is the guy. No, not yeah, Gallo. Gallo.
Yes. Gallo, yes. And there's the guy. Like my son said to me, Chase, he goes, that guy struck out more times in June than Tony Gwynn did in 3 years combined. And the Phillies are talking ball about, fire. And they're talking about getting this guy another bum. But anyway, oh, my dear Lord. Because I'll just say this. I'm as old as you. And when it comes down to the Eagles, you know, I'm no Eagle fan.
By the way, you know, guy hit a home run last night. You know that?
Yeah, I know. I said, the big deal. He has a
right.
hit.
Right, right.
he's still batting Herrera and Moniak, though, 160
yes,
or whatever.
You're right. Gallo is, yes.
All bums. But let's go back. I just want to say this quick about the Eagles, even though I'm not rooting for them anymore. You know, when I started hating the Cowboys, when Jerry Jones took over, I had no problem when Landry was there because Tom Landry was a gentleman. Always was.
Yeah, but he really wasn't a gentleman. Well, it was a facade.
Well, he acted.
I mean, how about how he looked down? He looked down on a. He was an elitist.
He was, but on the field, he never, you know, it was always, in my opinion, hey, we were only 10 years
old. He rubbed it in, too, in the scabs. He rubbed in the scab game. Nah, he was a creep.
Hey,
he was an elitist snob with that hat.
Yeah, I know. But, hey, I'd rather him than Jerry Jones. But
you know, they're the same. All the same.
This proves that Dombrowski better go out and get a center fielder that is caliber play like a Cody Bellinger or a Mike Trout. It's only one game. We need this. You cannot be losing these games that we should be winning. And we can't beat the frickin' Marlins, and we're going to be playing the Marlins again pretty soon. Teams that we should be beating, we're losing games to.
Right.
We can't have this. There's no way we're going to make the playoffs if this is happening. It's not his side. Well, Chumas, you know it. You know
it. Yeah, they're like 21-10 in their last 31 games.
Just
I know. But we need
Johnny,
to win these
Johnny,
games.
I hear you, but you just got to don't skies fall me and
no,
playoffs.
No, hey, I'm happy. I'm loving the Phillies.
I know you are. I appreciate it.
I'm loving watching Schwarber again, my God. And then you want to take him out of leave. You leave him where he's at. The guy's hitting the ball.
Yes, John. Yes, you are a great just a I love the fact though that every game is like life and death. That's great.
It is.
I appreciate that.
It is because we need. Hey, if we're going to make the playoffs, you got to win at least 7 out of 10 games the rest of the way. If we're going to make the playoffs,
all right,
maybe 8 out of 10. We
no, not eight. Yeah, that's going crazy. But no, listen, I get you, John. It's a great call, man. You're the man. We appreciate it. You know, they're not going to be 8, but.
Because they have about 80 games left. So that'd be a lot of wins.
Hey, by the way, the summer project we've been telling you about, and we've been highlighting notable Philadelphians doing great things. The girls of Vixen 77 have arrived in studio, Junis.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
They're awesome.
Really cool.
They're cool.
Before we head to break, in a couple minutes, I'll give you a little taste.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. The girls rock. They're cool, man. They are cool. We're looking forward to it. They're going to visit with us coming up next segment, and you're going to hear them. See, like, we like to highlight all of our Philadelphians. That's right. We want to highlight them. So Vixen 77, and they got a video on that they shot on South Street, which I love.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And our man VG is their manager. It's awesome. Where are we at? Blaine, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Blaine.
Yo, how y'all doing? Y'all hear me?
I got you, Blaine. What's going on?
And nothing much. I'm listening to y'all. I'm on the highway, rolling down the road.
Now, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Cowboy fans, finish the thought.
They don't need to be on this planet.
I love it.
I'm 35, and I understand the new age hate, I guess, for the Giants. I get it, but at the same time, I don't. Growing up, it was always Cowboys all over the TV, even when they was losing, and I can't stand the Cowboys. I don't understand about people my age or even younger disliking the Cowboys more. They need to. Every day we walk around, you see a Cowboys fan walking around, you should be telling them to go somewhere else.
Yo, you are, you should be in some sort of leadership role. I don't know what you do for a living, but you need to take us into the next century, the rest of the century. All right, you're my kind. I love you. Made me feel so much better. Because, like, I look at the Chiefs like, the Cowboys, so what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make
sense to me. I get it. Like, I mean, I look at it this way. Because, like I said, I understand y'all said the cutoff was, like, 40 years.
I thought it was 40, you know?
No, that depends on, I think that depends on when you legitimately started understanding the sport of football. I was watching football and knew what I, you know, who I was a fan of and everything before I turned 10. And I understood it. And at that time, we're talking, you know, 95, 96.
Mm-hmm.
I hated the Cowboys. It wasn't about the Giants. And so even going in, like, into my 20s and all of that, and then the Giants got good, and they beat the Patriots twice, I remember everybody kind of halfway coming together and rooting for the Giants to beat the Patriots, because we all hated the Patriots, because they kept winning.
Yeah.
And so that's something that would have never happened if it was the Cowboys. We would have been rooting for the Patriots to beat the Cowboys. And so, you know, with that being said, the hate's still there for the Cowboys. The Giants, we hate y'all because we hate them too, because they're our rivals as well. But, nah. No.
You're the man. You're the man, Blake. I appreciate you, man. I do. I'm serious. I need more of you during the season. You know that.
Oh, yeah. No, I got you, bro. And I'm watching. I'm going to call more. I called once or twice. I've spoken to you a couple times, but I'm going to call you more.
I like it.
I'm going to call you more.
I like that. We got to get the word out, man. You got to save the generation.
I'm with you. My son will be an Eagles fan.
Amen, brother. Amen. Good man. Good call. All right, Tunis. That's what I'm talking about.
I hear you.
I'm starting to feel energized that maybe it's not.
Restored faith in the community.
That I ran into told me the whole thing was done. And I bought it. I did. And he made some good points, and I bought it. I'm starting to feel better because plus it's you and the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm not helping you.
Blah, 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 the whole line.
All right, you want a little taste?
I got the ladies. The ladies are cool. You got to see the ladies. The YouTube audience is going to love this because we got the ladies coming in the studio next. I mean, we're giving a taste of this. Vixen 77.
Their song Record Store by Vixen 77.
This is going to be fun. I can't wait to talk of what we do here, of what our city produces. Our city has so much talent. Our city has, especially the arts. I love the arts. So, you know, whether it's filmmakers, writers, musicians, I mean, we have so much stuff, actors. And so we feature, along with athletes, because there's a lot of sports here, but we feature our own, because nobody else is going to do it. So we need to highlight our own. Now, we're lucky, Tunis, because we have a terrific, terrific band that is just going to be incredible. We heard them. They have a show coming up July 22nd at Johnny Brenda's. It's Vixen 77. That's the band. The ladies from the band, we have... we have them all in studio. Tunis, how great are they, man?
Oh, that was awesome. That nice little taste. You guys are awesome. Also cool. So thanks for coming in today.
What's going on?
What's up, cuz? What's up, cuz?
I love it. And you said that perfectly. Yeah. You said that perfectly. It's fantastic. So we got Samantha Joan.
Hello.
All right. Now, Samantha's from Delco, right?
Yes, I am. Born and raised in Delaware County. Delco proud.
I hear the accent.
Yes, that's what they said. As soon as I joined the band, they're like, oh, you're so from Delco. I'm like, oh, geez, here we go.
I love it. So we got Sarah.
Yes.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
You do the drums?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That is so cool. I love it. So where are you from?
I'm from a little town in New Jersey called Stockton. It's right on the Delaware River.
Oh, sure. So it's the college is there, right?
No, that one's down by the shore.
Oh, right.
It's like probably 10 minutes from New Hope. But really? On the Jersey side.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic. And so, how did you meet everybody?
I actually found them. Greg found me on BandMix. It's like a website where you can, it's almost like a dating site, but for bands to join up. So Greg messaged me. He's like, hey, we're looking for a drummer. And I'm like, an all-girl rock band? Yes.
Oh, my God. Cool. Yeah. That's so neat. I love that. Oh, my God. So, Joan? Who?
I'm Samantha.
You're Samantha, yeah. Joan. I'm sorry, because I have the whole thing. Who's?
I'm Kate.
Kate! What's going on, Kate? What are you happening? Kate, what's your story?
I play lead guitar, and I'm from South Jersey.
Where at?
I'm from Woodbury.
Are you
right across the bridge?
Yeah, we just moved, because I was living off of South Street, and we just moved to Mulligan Hill. So that's not too far. My kids go to school at Woodbury.
Okay, I graduated class of 2012.
Get out of here. Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
I'm showing my age, but.
Yeah, yeah, all right. You have to believe me.
Sure.
Are you kidding me? All right, and then we got, so tell me, everybody. I know you're Jazz.
Yeah.
What's up, Jazz?
What's up?
What are you doing, Jazz?
I'm playing bass, and I'm from South Jersey, too.
Tell me where, and speak it to the mic.
I'm playing bass. I'm from Pensauken, New
Jersey. You're from Pensauken?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool. That's a great sports town, too.
Yeah.
Yes, Pensauken's fantastic.
Yeah, I graduated Pensauken High School, and I'm so happy to be in this band. I met them on Instagram, actually.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
We all kind of just came together.
Yeah, we just came.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Like, did you just hooked up over that?
My friend Chuck Treese actually tagged me in their post, Philadelphia rock band looking for a bassist. And I was like, hey, what's up?
No way! Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
And I auditioned with them, and we partied that same night.
We did.
And it was
epic.
Oh,
my God.
Fireball.
Love the fireball. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's fantastic. Now, what did you do? Please introduce yourself to the audience.
What did I do?
My name is Elizabeth. I play rhythm guitar. I've been living in South Philly for but I'm born and raised
I'm
in Florida.
South Philly, so really?
Yeah.
What part of Florida?
Orlando.
And so what made you come up to Philadelphia?
I mean, you gotta leave Florida, step one. I moved to Boston and the people there suck. And I don't like them, and so I moved to Philly because I actually when I was 13 I used to look at Philly to move here.
Really?
Yeah, and so it like became
so it was a part of the universe. Like you had already tapped into here.
Yeah,
you picked it, and see a lot of times places will pick you, right? And you now you're and you grew and you moved to South Philly.
Yeah. 10 years.
And look at that. Now you're Philadelphia.
Yeah.
This
right?
is my home.
That's right. Yeah. You're Philadelphia. Yeah. All the other Philly ladies going on right over here.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, so how long, Samantha, how long did it start? Like, what's the core? Who knew each other first?
Well, I'm pretty sure it was Kate and Liz started the band together, right?
I was one of the original four. I don't know. I was also a suggestion. A mutual friend got us together.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this current lineup is like 1 year old, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I think we just had our first anniversary.
Yeah.
So they proposed to me like The Bachelor and asked me to be in their band.
Yeah.
You guys are fun.
We're like, commit to us.
You be in our band.
I'm like, ours.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, who writes the music?
I think we all collectively
do. Yeah, all of us.
Yeah.
Really?
All combined effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all write lyrics, we all write rhythm.
I love that. It's like this like communal effort of these five amazing, talented minds coming together to kind of, you know, make this magic. Now, what's it entail? Give us, like, your schedule. Like, what, like, when you guys are together constantly and just to be able to put out this kind of music, how much work? I know it's got to be tireless, right?
A lot of work.
A lot of work.
Yeah. A lot of work.
Yeah. We get together, we practice.
Twice a week?
All the time, twice a week.
Jam on new riffs, jam on new lyrics, try to write something.
Lots of video shoots, photo shoots, lots of...
Yeah.
We've been nonstop.
It's a full-time job.
It is. I mean, listen. Yeah. You know, listen, this is the dream, right? Did you guys all dream of getting involved in music?
Yes.
I think when we were all young, we all wanted to do this, for sure. Yeah.
We just want to play.
Yeah,
we're so
play
grateful.
Live.
Yeah.
What made this genre kind of fit with you guys? Like, what drew you to this? Because this, you're basically doing an homage to the 70s punk.
Yeah.
Which is stone cool.
Yeah.
And what made you guys kind of gravitate toward that music?
Ever since I was like 15, that's been my favorite kind of music.
Yeah,
like
same.
Stooges have always been one of my favorite bands. So
yeah, I was
ever since I started playing guitar.
Yeah.
I grew up listening to rock.
Yeah.
It's just like in my blood.
Yeah, I grew up on the Ramones.
It's actually a little more new for me, but I love it. I'm like, whoa, what is this? Like, the girls put me onto a lot of stuff, and I'm like,
really?
Super into it.
So what did you grow up listening to? What
just was all types of stuff. A lot of like jazz, hip hop, soul stuff, some rock, like radio stuff.
Right.
But I just love mostly all music, and this feels like a part of myself that I didn't even know was inside of me.
It kind of got like unleashed, or awakened, which is the, you know, that awakened part of you. It became awakened. What when you're playing, right? And how hard? Like, I'm curious, when you have something, a new genre come in, and you decide to join the band, all when you're playing, does it just feel? You feel it.
Yeah.
How much is it a feel when you're playing? Because I have no gift.
It's the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah. Everything is a feel.
It just plays right through you, right? Like, there's no thought. Like, it's like, we always talk about it from a sports standpoint, right? When you're playing sports, you don't think, right? Like, you're just reacting, perform, right?
It's definitely similar to sports, because I run marathons, too, and it's a very similar kind of, like, mindset where you just have to be, like, in the flow, like, not thinking. Mm-hmm.
And I, like, black out when I play. When I go on, Liz, I kill it.
Blacks out, falls over.
I love it. It's old school.
We have a great video of Liz falling backward on stage. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm all over the place.
Get out of here.
It's messy.
Liz is sending it.
There's great photos of Liz from our shows.
Liz,
a couple weeks ago, messed her hand up on a mandolin, and we had to power through a show when we played with MC5. She was bleeding all over the place. Oh, my God. She's a true rock and roller. Oh, and then she broke her elbow a couple weeks ago, and then she still powered through that show.
Really?
With a broken elbow. Oh, yeah. That's what rock and roll is, baby.
That's right. So, when you guys, what's it like trying to get, now you've gotten very far now. Like, this is the next step, right, into what you guys are doing. What's the journey been like, you know, up to now? I'll start with you.
It's kind of, like, surreal. Like, a lot of things, like, I feel like aren't even, like, truly happening. Like, I might talk about it. I'm just like, oh, my God, that's so cool. I'm so excited for you. I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. But it's also, like, not real yet. Like, we're on our way to make our third music video, and we're just, like, we're just powering through this crap, and it's, like, unbelievable.
What's the goal? Like, what's the...
We're planning the tour in the fall, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to quit my day job. I'm tired of working in kitchens.
What do you do?
Work in kitchens.
Yeah, where do you work?
Right now, I get to do Expo at Crybaby Pasta. And it's,
oh, get out of here!
It's a nice little break.
Yeah.
Expo's a little break than the line, but I still want to quit that job. No offense, everyone that I work
with. No, of course not. No, listen, it's like the dream, right?
Yeah, it's the dream.
It's all about the dream, knowing that, oh, man, someday it's going to happen. And now you're on this journey. And this is what is so cool is... the before and the ascension, and as you guys are on this journey, I mean, did you ever think it would come like this? Like, that it would be like this?
I had no idea. I'm just so thankful to be here. Like, sometimes I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm in this awesome band. I just start crying. I'm so emotional.
That's fantastic. That's so cool. So what do you think? Where do you believe? Did you always believe that you would... you would get to stardom? Did you believe in, you know, that this would come, that this would happen? And you're on this cusp.
Yeah.
Well, I believe in all of us, but we're really just doing it because we love it so much. Yeah. That's ultimately why we're doing it. That's the first reason. And then stardom would be, you know, hopefully something that would occur.
Yeah, that's you know what, it's funny. So I'm a writer, right? So I've written film and books and stuff. And so you write, like, and you're always hoping, oh, man, I'm gonna write a movie that's gonna be the greatest movie and it's gonna be a huge success and whatever. But that's not why you do it.
Right.
You do it because you need to get it out of you.
Yeah, right. It's therapeutic.
Yeah. Right?
Bigger than you.
So yes.
Yeah.
And that is the beauty of art. Like that you know, this you have to do it. It's you're restless.
Without it.
Yes.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Yeah.
And this part of the journey, it's not work, it's just what you do, right?
Yeah.
So where's the tour? What's going to happen with the tour? Tell me about the tour.
We don't know yet.
We're hoping no plans everywhere.
This fall, the record's going to come out this fall, and we want a tour to, you know, go spread the record and the word, just support that album.
So. Now, would you go to festivals, and what
we
do you think?
We would love to.
We know.
Like, what's the next, like, I'm trying to find the next step, like, from here for you guys. Like, do you guys go to a lot of music festivals?
Yeah.
We love MMRBQ. I know Kate keeps rooting for MMRBQ.
Yeah, I hope we get booked on it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you're a sister station. Yeah. So
one of my dreams. If you ask Greg, like, I've seriously been saying that for like 5 years.
No way.
Every day for 5 years.
Well, because before the pandemic happened, literally March 2020, we were WMMR's Artist of the Month.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic hit and everything was gone.
No, are you serious?
But it was a blessing because back then there was an old lineup and we were still great. But this lineup coming out of the pandemic is the best.
Yes.
And so it was like a blessing in disguise. Yep.
Everything happens for a reason.
So. Yeah.
That's right. And that's right. And it's funny because watching the video, Greg sent me the video, and I was watching the video, and you guys are all so, like, you have presence. Like, I was like, and it's funny, again, talent is something that you can't define, right? Like, you know it when you see it. Mm-hmm. And I go, I told him, I go, dude, they're outrageous. Like, and I've known, and Greg, listen, the same way. Like, he is a creator. Come over here, Greg.
Hey, Greg. VG.
So VG is one of a great, now I've been friends with VG for 20 years, but he also calls. Right? Like, you know the Violations, Greg. So he also calls as Violations Greg. And But he always spots the Violations. Like, he's great. But I know that it's such a passion. And when, Greg, tell me the story of how you discovered and again, we're talking to Vixen 77. It's the ladies of the band, Vixen 77. And they're local, and they're going to be big stars.
Yeah, so, you know, I work in the music industry. I work for a label distribution company.
You know how to speak in a mic. You're not your first rodeo.
I work for a label distribution company, Megaforce Records, shout out. And I managed a band like 20 years ago. They got a record deal toward the country a few times. And a friend of a friend mentioned and was talking about this band. And I don't know, I went to see them at... I think Connie's Rick Rack or Kung Fu Necktie was the first time.
Oh, yeah, Connie's
I still have your card gave us.
R.I.P.
I know.
So, you know, they were raw. They had potential. So, you know, help them out.
He took a gamble.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like 3 years later, a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of text messages. I'm not a texter.
Could you imagine?
I managed
Greg
a band.
Is a saint.
My God.
He's on our group chat.
I managed a band with 5 guys before. Talk like twice a week. We're on a text chain. I wake up to like 32 text messages.
That's
the
200 is more like it.
Yeah, picking out a photo. guys, like, pick whatever you want. All of them like whatever photo they look best in. Didn't them agree? Like, we did a photo shoot with 215 photos. We had to pick 10 of them. It was like,
it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, honestly.
It wasn't terrible.
So what do you do? So we have the show on July 22nd at Johnny Brenda's, which is awesome. Which, how do people get tickets?
JohnnyBrenda's.com. You can go to our Instagram, the Vixen 77 Instagram account's got a link tree, which has got a link to the video, the singles, all their show tickets. Mm-hmm. We got another single coming out next month for a song called Some Days. After that, in September, we have a song called Evade with the video and single coming out. Album comes out in October. And hopefully I get them on the road, you know, tour the Mid-Atlantic throughout October.
He won't come with us on the road, by the way.
What do you mean?
I got a full-time job. Come on.
Dude, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
Dude, have you been on the road? I'm too old for the road. You know, in a van with no bathrooms, no showers.
First of all, you can't leave the ladies. You gotta go.
We'll find them a good tour manager.
Yeah.
They'll still be in the text chain.
We'll bring the cuz with us.
Yeah, I'll manage it.
Yeah.
You know one of my favorite movies.
I know which one you're saying.
Come on.
I don't love it. What's the name of it?
Come on.
It's Goldie Hawn's daughter.
Yes!
I was going to say it, but I didn't want to be wrong on the radio.
That was my...
And he was a writer for Rolling Stone. It was based on a true story. And so I told him, I go, like, dude, I love this movie. I don't know what it is. I love the music. I love the whole thing, right?
Yeah,
you love that movie. Right? Like, they're on the road. And he's like, nah, it stinks.
That's not the road I know. The road I know is like a van with eight people jammed into it. You get a shower break every 3 days.
Yeah,
and in a bus. Give me a bus with a union driver.
Well, he's up there a little bit established.
not bus established. We would like to be bus established.
You will be.
Yeah, we will.
You will be. I'm telling you, we will be.
The goal is buses.
The goal right now is a bus.
Finally.
All right, real quick, Greg. What's the next thing locally? Will be other venues?
We're doing Johnny Brenda's July 22nd. There's some fundraiser stuff we're talking about doing in September. Right. And, we're just trying to gear it all up for the release in October. It's probably just trying to raise awareness throughout this area and the country.
Samantha, what's the the Instagram? They want to follow you guys.
Oh, it's 77vixen777 is our Instagram. If you type in vixen77, it should pop up. You can also find us on Facebook that way too. Mm-hmm.
So we have a website. When you have five people, right, and you guys are relatively new friends, what's that like as far as getting along? I mean, have you had any beefs? Like, is it because it's human nature, right? Like, you're gonna
have. That is what is so great about this lineup.
Yeah,
we talk like grown-ups. If there's any kind of issues or concerns, we just talk.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. I love these women.
That's awesome.
You can apologize if you like do, and people will respect the apology. Like, there's, it's a level of respect for everyone.
It's amazing.
Right? We respect each other. We love each other. I think we all admire each other, which is another really cool thing.
Yeah.
And we all, we fucking love each other. We vibe.
See, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're all here to build each other up.
See, teams, sometimes you got like a Ben Simmons.
It's just waiting for him to get off the bench and leave.
Now, you guys like the Sixers, right?
Oh,
the Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
Flyers.
The Flyers?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, we got, what's our song we're playing, Junis?
Oh, this is Your Love.
Vixen 77.
Ow! Records.
Love, baby. Yeah, here we go.
Are incredible! book. All right? Don't forget me when you guys are big stars, okay?
Hell no,
we'll
no way.
Come back on. I love it. You guys are the best. We love you. Good luck. Thank We're rooting
you.
For you.
Thanks, cuz. So
thank the best.
Thanks,
cuz.
Thank you.
Man, like, you know, if you want to do any of this stuff and you have people that you want to nominate and you just got to give us some, you know, some time to get everything together, you know, hit me up on, you know, on Twitter at Anthony L. Gargano. And shoot me a DM, and you got the Tunis. You can shoot him too at Ace Al Tunis on Twitter or Instagram, Anthony Lewis Gargano, any of that stuff. Hit us with it, and you know we're going to try to work and get as many people as possible. We got vacations coming up over the last couple weeks of July, but you know August, and I love this stuff, man. I love getting people that are just doing stuff. Like, listen, who's got day jobs, right? But there's a passion. And it's when you follow your dreams and you follow your passion that you can make it become a reality. And who knows? Maybe you don't have to do the day job anymore.
Right.
Like our friends are saying.
Yeah, that was awesome. By the way.
Yes. Deal Zone?
So this kind of helps us get an idea of what Brooklyn wants.
All right.
For Durant. This per Crispy Haynes, Yahoo Sports. The Brooklyn Nets asked the Minnesota Timberwolves for the following. Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and 4 first-round picks. The Timberwolves declined.
Yeah, well, that's just stupid.
But that's what they're looking for right now.
Well, you make no... Listen, would I give him Cat? Yeah.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
I'm not giving up Anthony Edwards. No. Like, I got to pair Anthony Edwards, Durant, and then
Gobert. Yeah.
Like, that all fits. But I'm not getting rid of, you know, Towns. I'm not getting rid of Towns. I'm not getting rid of Edwards. I love Anthony Edwards. I just think he's just
the other thing. I don't know what picks do they have to give up. They just trade a bunch to Utah.
But here's the thing, though. That's why wherever he gets moved... And that offer's insane. But wherever he gets moved, where do you think he's going to get moved to? It's going to be a 3-14 trade.
Right, that's true, yeah.
Like you have to piecemeal assets together, right?
Yeah, they're going to expect, like, it could be a historic haul, whatever the Brooklyn gets for him. Right? It might be one of the bigger trades.
Well, I think it would have to be, and rightly so. He's the biggest, like, he would be the biggest player to be traded for, right?
Yes. Yeah, LeBron left.
LeBron was a free agent. He was a free agent. But as far as a trade, who's bigger than him for trade?
Nobody.
I mean, if you go back to actual trades and what somebody gets in return, nobody's as big as Durant.
No, definitely not.
Now, did you see, this is one of the greatest things ever. And in fact, the Drip God.
Love the Drip God.
He's the one who let me know. And this is unbelievable. So, PJ Tucker tweets out the following. You ready? What a year. True underdogs that really got it out of the mud and went against all odds. Miami, you will forever be my home. And Heat Nation, I can't thank you guys enough for the love that you've shown me all year. Though our journey together has come to an end, the love will forever remain the same. Are you ready? You know who responded?
Yeah.
Jimmy! And Jimmy said, bleep you and at Joel Embiid. Yeah, I brought him into this.
That's great. That's great.
Jimmy!
I love Jimmy, man.
Yeah, I do too. Jimmy's
still,
the best.
It still upsets me.
Jimmy's the best. You go, bleep you, dude. And bleep you, Joe. Oh, it's classic.
It's still obsessed me.
I love it.
By the way, one more thing before we get back to the phones, because I need to bring this up. It's going to disgust you, and I think we need to get the pizza police.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You know, I'm waging war when it comes to pizza.
So, the bro...
Oh, I'll lock his ass up tomorrow.
...is the reason why this popped up on Twitter for me. The Indiana State Fair is a couple weeks away, Ant. And one of the items you'll be able to try is pickle pizza. Homemade dough with a dill ranch sauce topped with mozzarella cheese, dill seasoning, and dill pickles. To which Jamie Lynch responded with, I'd crush one of these.
Okay, so first of all, I want to lock the bro up just for liking that, right? And being part of the problem, the pizza problem. For me, as a pizza policeman, as the pizza undercover crowd, whatever we used to call pizza mafia.
The KGP.
I'm more the KGP, right. It's more of the pizza mafia, right? The KGP, right? Pickle, first of all, it's Indiana. Don't know nothing about pizza in Indiana, all right? In fact, you should keep the name pizza out of your mouth in Indiana. Stop. Stick with corn and whatever the hell you do. Leave the pizza alone.
Pickles. Sure, potato crops are good out there.
Pickles. That's Idaho.
Sure, it's still good out there, though.
Well, are you kidding me? Pizza? Are you kidding me? Pickles?
Yeah. With a dill ranch sauce topped with mozzarella cheese, dill seasoning,
dude, that
dill
makes
pickles.
Me want to beat Jamie with a pickle.
And here's the thing.
With a pickle jar.
You know me.
I'll get a Vlasic jar and beat Jamie with it.
I like to try different kinds of things, but this looks so unappetizing.
I mean, this is outrageous.
I'm texting you the photo right now.
I just got it.
Like, I like a pickle, but the pickle's not appetizing. Like, it doesn't look appetizing, the pickle. When it's chopped up, it doesn't look good. And then on a piece of pizza?
No, it's disgraceful. I mean, it's disgraceful. You do nothing but
and is the pickle hot? But like on the pizza, I guess?
Dude, you're a swine if you put pickle on a pizza. Really, you're just a swine. Stop. Don't get me angry. Let's go to Big Al. You're on 97.5. Hey. Big Al!
Hey, what's up, fellas?
These motherfathers putting pickles on pizza. Come on, Big Al. What's that about?
Man, I have to admit, I put pineapple on there. So
don't tell me that. I want to love you. Don't tell me that now.
Hey, man, I was gonna let you know I've been listening to you for about 2.5 years here in Cincinnati. You got the best sports talk on radio, man.
Ah, Big Al, thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. Well, how'd you find us? You from Philadelphia originally?
No, you know what, man? I've been listening to you guys. Full disclosure, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Big Al! Oh, no!
But anyway, I want to call on this Cowboy-Eagles rivalry, because the thing about it is I know you guys hate the Cowboys, but for the Cowboys, our biggest rivalry is not the Eagles, it's the Redskins. I mean, we hate the Redskins. We dislike the Eagles, but every time we play the Redskins, we're going to beat them by 40. So... it's kind of different. It's a little different.
No, you're right. Now, listen, you're 100% right in that the true Cowboys. And now, here's my beef. All right. See, one of the biggest reasons why we hate the Cowboys here is because all the local Cowboys fans, right? So they're fugazis, Big Al. Yeah. Like, seriously, traitors. Like, you're in the same division. You're rooting against your home team, your hometown division rival. Hey, what you're trying to do is you're rooting against my happiness. That makes you my enemy. You're going against the family. So, therefore, the Cowboys became the most hated team in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about it is that, like, I'm 56 years old, so I've seen all of the Super Bowls. I mean, I lived in D.C. when I got out of college in 89, 98, so I saw them go from 1-15 to winning 3 championships in 4 years. So, you know, I earned my stripes living in D.C. So that's what my hatred for, you know, definitely for the Redskins was at a high level at that point. But
where did you originally grow up?
I grew up in Cincinnati.
Okay.
The thing is,
no Bengals.
At 10 years old, and it's crazy because when I was 10 years old, I was sitting at Thanksgiving dinner, and I was sitting there, and the Cowboys came on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I saw the Cowgirl cheerleaders. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Right.
And then I saw the star, and I was like, that's my team. I was 10 years old. My parents don't know how I became, and that's how I became a Cowboy. I've been a Cowboy fan for 45 years since then. So that's how I became, and I go to a lot of the Cowboy games. I fly to about 2 games a year. Every year to go down to Dallas.
So it's weird because you became a Cowboy fan over the hometown Bengals, but you were not a different conference. The Bengals were bad, right? When you're growing up, they weren't any good.
Yeah.
Actually, so Icky Woods, right?
Yeah, they were actually, I went to the Ice Bowl in 1980. My father took me where the Bengals played the Chargers.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was rooting for the Cowboys to beat the 49ers so they would meet in Detroit, but we ended up losing on the catch. And so they were good back then, and they got Sard, and they got good with Icky and Boomer.
Right.
You know, so they kind of went through it. But I was one of those guys, and I know you were talking earlier about how some Cowboy fans used to always bless Eagles balls for not winning the championship. I was one of those guys.
My
Eagles.
Oh.
I had Eagles people I work with. And they used to beat us. I just say, well, come talk to me when y'all win one.
Big Al! Oh, my God. He's nice to meet you, but the pineapple and the busted balls.
One more thing. I would say we haven't won in 27 years. And I know you guys, I heard you guys do the deal with the devil. The one thing I was going to say is if Eagles fans right now could do a deal with the devil, win 3 championships in 4 years, and then not go to another.
Yeah, well, we happy? Yeah. I'm sorry, Big Al, I got to run. We got news?
Yeah, tough. James Caan passes away at the age of 82.
Oh, man, really, Sonny?
Yeah.
Man, that's a shame.
That stinks.
He survived the causeway all those years.
And he just had Ray Liotta a couple months ago. So
yeah.
Some of these legends, man.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Jimmy Caan, man. Jimmy Caan was tomorrow I'll do a little ode to Jimmy Caan. Some of the great movies. Wow.
Yeah, that's a shame. Sucks, man.
That does suck. What is it? Now, Big Al's from Cincinnati, and he's the same way. He's a Cowboy fan here.
Yeah, there's no
breaking stones.
There's no reason.
Championships. This pickle pizza's getting me angry too.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I want to bust up that state fair.
You want to go? You want to do a remote out there?
I want
to. We're going out there for Philly
get a
lead. Maybe right.
I want to get a lead. Oh yes. I want to get a legion of all
favorite pizza shops.
All our Philadelphia people, right? And we're going to go there. like motorcycle guy. And then bust up the fair. And you leave the hell with this pizza, the pickles. I might have to do my own pizza tour. Tunis.
You might have to.
Calvin, you're on 97.5. Now, yo, Cal.
What's up, buddy?
This is my man. Good. What's going on, brother?
Hey, man, those Vixens must have been super cute, man. You was in there cheesing, man. I had cheese.
They were fantastic. Oh, you loved them.
Yeah, they sound great, man. I wanted to tell you, man, the topic that they remind me of was something I saw when Tampa beat the Eagles that time in the playoffs, man, and it was Monday, and I met Broad and Erie at the light, and the bus, you know, if you could picture this, the bus stopped in front of me or across the street from me, and I seen this dude get off the bus, and he's got on a Dallas Cowboy uniform, he's got the headband, he's got a bag of, he's got his Walkman on, and a newspaper, right? So when he gets off the bus, he makes a left. But then he makes a right real quick, and I'm trying to figure out, what's he doing? So then I couldn't see him, but then I see these dudes walking towards the bus. So by the time they got to the back of the bus, I saw potato chips fly in the newspaper there. They chased my man a block and a half. I saw his ass. They chased this guy a block and a half. I said, that's what the hell you get. Are you crazy?
Oh, my God.
But what I can tell you is, see, a lot of, like what Tunis is saying, what it is, it's generational. Because a lot of the old-timers have died off, man. Like, my grandfather hated Dallas. He ain't here no more. My uncle hated Dallas. He ain't here no more. So,
I know. All those dudes that, you know, showed us the way, Calv.
Yeah, they're not here.
Yeah.
So
we're losing them.
These young guys, right, they think Dallas is just a team like Green Bay. If you didn't know about Green Bay in the 60s and 70s, they were dominating the NFL. If you didn't know that, you think that Dallas is just another team that doesn't win.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't know a difference.
No, it's like the truth. That's why he goes Giants, you know?
That's right. Same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, man, can I get some
FanFest? Yeah, of course.
I gotta go on
Stubble. Yeah, no, you, bro, come on, man. First of all, you know what? You're going to be on the trip when we go bust up that Indiana State Fair.
Oh, yeah.
I need muscle. I need you, Cal.
Hey, listen, I cracked up with you and him about the food because when he says something crazy, Tuna says something crazy. Dead silence from you, and I can only imagine the look on your face you give it. I crack up, man. That thing is funny to me, man.
Food and books. That's the only thing we don't...
And movies.
Oh, you don't, yeah, because you don't watch it.
I don't watch a movie.
Yeah. Hold on, Cal. Let me get them tickets.
By the way, a little bit of news that probably not many people care about, but I'm sure you do. The World Baseball Classic is returning.
Oh, I love the World Baseball Classic.
March 2023.
Really?
Good
I
time.
Do love the. I love it.
Hopefully, it's post tournament, or at least played in the middle of the week when the tournament's not going on.
Yeah, I love that tournament.
2023.
Oh, that's good. Where's it going to be at?
I don't see yet. I'll try to effort that. I don't see yet, but it's the first time since 2017.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it's been that long since the last classic.
Yeah, I'm putting together a crew now to go out to the state fair.
Yeah.
Big Bear.
You got some muscle.
Big Bear. Forget about it, man. You know, Big Bear's the nicest guy you ever want to meet, but you can cross him. Those are the scariest guys that are really nice and good people, but you cross them, and then they turn Hulk on you.
Oh, yeah, they can mess you up.
You know what I mean?
It looks like, hold on a second, Taichung, Tokyo, Phoenix, and Miami. The four locations.
I don't know. I love you. You like it too.
You and I have talked about this before. I love watching Euro soccer.
Yeah,
Not like the teams. Like I'm not a big Real Madrid. I'm talking about
speaking
like
of soccer,
countries.
Dude.
I think it's awesome,
dude. I gotta talk. I think I might be addicted to FIFA because Massimo and I were going at it. He was Paris Saint-Germain, and I was Liverpool.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think I might be a Liverpool. That might be my EPL squad.
You found out your squad?
It might be Liverpool. Let's go to Jules. Meanwhile, real quick, we're playing a game, right? And then he starts doing the accent.
Oh, yeah? That's awesome.
Like to mock me. Right? This is my 9-year-old son. So he scores. Look at that, because I can't do it, but he does it well.
Hello, bro.
He goes, out of a goal, love.
That's awesome. He's talking smack.
Hey, little.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The brogue, it's awesome.
You little motherfucker. No, the Irish have the brogue. Out of the goal, love. Oh, I want to smack him. Jules, because I can't beat him. Jules, what's happening, Jules?
What's What's going on, cuz?
What are you doing, brother?
Ah, not much. Just working, man. Listening to you guys.
My man.
What's going on, South Tunis?
Yo.
Hey, man. So first things first, huge violation on the pizza.
Dude, how about that? Are you kidding me? They're throwing pickles.
And the bro wants to crush one, he said.
The bro, I the bro, fan fest, me and him, MMA, cage.
Man, they need to call it something different. It's not pizza.
Exactly.
Second thing, I'm a Liverpool fan myself, cuz, so it's funny that you just mentioned that.
Are you really?
Yeah, huge Liverpool fan.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Get out! I think that might be my squad.
It should be, man. But and then the other thing I wanted to talk about was the whole Eagles-Cowboys rivalry. I'm 29.
Okay.
And I can't stand the Cowboys, and it's blasphemy what my ears are hearing, that people don't... four for four, family, right?
Right.
My family has bled for this team and has dealt with all these Cowboys fans for years, man, and I'm not just going to forget about that.
Yes, exactly. Like, you have respect for the family.
Yeah, exactly. I can't believe what I'm hearing, that people aren't all into the rivalry.
I know.
When we beat the Cowboys, it's that much sweeter, and when we lose to the Cowboys, it's that much worse.
I know. I just don't even understand it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's,
Jules,
it's baffling.
When the guy said to me, and it was a nice conversation, pleasant conversation, and he's like, yeah, dude, but the only thing is, I think the Cowboy thing's dead. Nobody cares. And then the Chunis, he don't care. He's a Giants.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, I hate them all. Don't get me wrong.
But right, of course you do.
Special hatred for Cowboys. Like you said, all these fugazi fans.
I just don't want to lose that piece of it. I know that they don't matter, but certain things are good things. Like, you know,
that our fans had to deal with over so many years.
Right, like you heard Big Al, right? Big Al goes, what did he say? See? Well, I used to rip you guys for not having one. Talk to you when you get a ring. You know how many times you get that?
Yeah, but I still get it. And then what I can't stand even worse is most of them are fake fans. They don't even know the sport. I used to work with a guy. If you have a second for a quick story.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. We're up against it with the break, but tell me next time because you got to call again. You were great. All right, draft tonight. Got to give a yo to my man, Ed Wright.
Because we got a yo.
Yo.
Ed has great fear that they're going to draft somebody, a kid with the talent of the 45th pick at number 5.
Wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, can't wait to draft a player, hear about how great they are for 8 years, and then when they finally make it to the big club, they're not. I'm used to that at this point. Flyers and Phillies, man. The prospects that are going to be the next big one.
It never works out.
Never work out.
Never. It's a truism. Never.
A lot of high picks, too.
Well, we're great at free agents.
Yes.
We are good at free agents, you got to admit.
Yeah. Especially the Eagles.
Oh, Phillies. Phillies are good at free agents.
Yeah.
They're actually good at free agents.
I agree. I need Castellanos to wake up a little bit.
He will.
I hope so.
He will. Schwarber.
That's an important piece of that line, right-handed bat.
I agree. I think you're dead right. You're dead right about that. Let's get Kevin up here. Kevin!
Hey, fellas. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Kev?
I'm just sitting around. You guys are doing me good service. Hey, Andrew, last time I had this surgery, the Phillies won the World Series. So,
all right.
Kevin
Lewis!
So it's like I sit here all day listening to talk show radio with the TV sound down, watching stuff on TV.
How you coming along, my brother?
I mean, I'm healing fine. Good. That's the problem. Like, all right, the other surgery, there was infection. So it kind of like made me sick, and I was like able to work out, so I would sleep during the day.
Now I'm wide awake with a ton of energy. It's awful, man.
You want to do stuff. Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just take care of yourself, buddy, because you take care of it, and then you know, then you'll be all right.
Yeah, for sure. But like I was saying, I just had some dumb luck. It was people I went to high school with, Andrew. I had them listen to you. And it was the day you were talking about the rapper and Scottie Pippen's wife. That's exactly the way you're supposed to act. I mean, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They all heard that, and they thought that was awesome. They said, how do you know what a good kid he is? And they said, you only met him four times. I said, he's always respectful, but I see him on, like, a bad day. So I said, that's how I know. And, you know. So you did yourself a good turn that day.
I'll fill you in on that story.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Get your number off. And your project for your high school, like your youth sports.
Yeah.
What do you need? Streaming equipment?
No. We're gonna have a big rollout soon. I'll get you up because we're gonna do our guests. We're gonna have guests from all over. I know you're a baseball guy and of course the Catholic people. So we'll make sure every part of the region is represented. And I know you're great baseball people. So
yeah,
we're good.
No,
we're all good. We got everything, yeah. So we're ready for the launch.
Okay, all right, that's cool.
Yeah,
I was listening to Tyrone yesterday, and he was saying how he wants to get like school supplies or stuff like that. I have a lot of high school administrator friends.
Oh, really? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's what made me call the switchboard.
Well, guess what? Well, you know what? We'll put you on hold because Tyrone. We'll let Ty. He's here.
He's there.
Yeah. We'll get him. Hold on. And then talk to Kevin, Ty, because he's got in on the school supplies for you. Let's go to Billy. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Bill!
Yo, what's going on, cuz?
What's up, Bill?
Hey, man, I really enjoyed you getting that band on. And let me throw you one. I got a million-dollar idea just about every day. And one of my million-dollar ideas, can I air it out?
Yeah, man.
I want the Phillies to do a local band walk-up music night at Citizens Bank Park.
That's a great idea.
Right? Wouldn't that be cool? You give the players, like, a bunch of different tunes from different local bands. You know, get them to, you know, players get to pick something that they like. And free tickets or cheap tickets to the bands and some of their fans. And you pack the house with music lovers who get to hear themselves as the players walk up. How cool would that be?
No, I think it's a great idea. That's a great idea. It is.
I got $1 million.
I like that idea. It's a good idea.
No, pass it. I say it out loud on the air because maybe the Phillies are listening.
Listen, you got to put it out in the universe, all right?
Yep, that's exactly right.
You don't want to keep it to yourself. That's never. You always have something. You act on it and put it out in the universe.
Absolutely, 100%. So, yeah, I appreciate you having those folks on. And in the spirit of your summer project, they mentioned a person that really deserves a shout-out as a Philadelphian, and that's the man Chuck Treese. One of the musicians mentioned him as the guy that got her into the scene. Chuck Treese is a legend that most Philadelphians don't know of.
No, I don't know.
He's basically a punk rock music legend, but his story is he's born in Newark. He grew up in he came to Philly as a young guy, and he became a big time skater and musician. He was the first African American on the cover of Thrasher magazine.
Get out.
He went on to have all kinds of success as a hardcore, like, punk rock thrash musician, but also as a session player for people like Sting and Billy Joel and Pearl Jam. So Chuck Treese is a serious heavy hitter in the music skate punk industry, and he's one of those Philadelphians that just made himself what he wanted to be because he doesn't give a bleep about what anybody else.
I love it. Listen, I think that's important, and that's why it's these people that I wanted to show some love to and give yos and highlight them and
absolutely
their work.
And the reason, and I'm going to loop this back to the other conversation, the reason that Chuck Treese represents Philadelphia is because he's a self-made person who leans on his own skills to get where he is. The reason that we hate Dallas is because Dallas is a city of hype and oil money that makes its power from oil and exploiting people. Dallas is a fraud state.
Yes.
Pennsylvania. And this is where Pennsylvania and New York, like, we don't like the Giants, we don't like New York, but those are our brothers.
Right.
They work with us here in America's boiler room. We get our power from doing things.
It's no accident, cuz, that the rise of the Dallas Cowboys.
I love it.
With the rise of oil and the American hype economy. Old heads like you and me recognize it's not just that the Cowboys are bad. It's that Dallas is a fraud city, a fraud state.
I am with you 100%. It's a brilliant call, Bill. Brilliant. I love it. Brilliant. Coach Ryan. Because your Chuck is a legend. Big music man. Let's go to my man, Sam in England. Sammy.
Oh, I liked you until you said you were a Liverpool fan.
Oh, no good?
No, Nick are the players. They make my team's best players.
So, oh, do they really want to? Do they raid you?
They raid Southampton, yes. And they don't sound like your son said. They sound like, hey, Nate, how you doing? I scored a goal against you, you know what I mean?
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they're not posh like me, so.
You know, they do, you know, listen, I'm playing FIFA, right? Now, he's Paris Saint-Germain. All right?
And I'm
Liverpool, and he's kicking my butt, right? And you go, what a goal, love. He's mocking me in your accent. I feel like it's Sam from England kicking my butt in FIFA, and it's my Massimo. Hell of a goal, love.
He's a lot flatter than me. When we score, it's a lot more like Eagle sort of high five celebrating.
Yeah.
You know, the Stone Island on and stuff. But yeah, I was gonna say I've got a story about hating Dallas. When I was out with my guy Topher, who rings you as well. He me and him went to the bar at Trinity Live, and we were playing the Cowboys. It was the Bradford touchdown overtime to Matthews game, and there was these Eagles cheerleaders there, and they kept getting in my way. And obviously, they're super hot girls, and right. I was telling her to move out the way, so I wanted to see the game. And,
yeah.
Kevin Avant was like, what? I'm like, I've come over to watch the Sixers lose the other night, and now I want to watch my Eagles beat the Cowgirls. And everyone started liking me. The bartender loved it when I called them the Cowgirls. There's some plastic or fake, whatever you want to call them, Philadelphian Cowgirl fans, and they couldn't believe it. And I was like, no, I'm not having this. Like, this is Eagles town. This is Philly. How can you support another team and just completely destroy them when Bradford threw that touchdown? Because there was a lot of good Sam Bradford moments, but that one was special. You know, Xfinity was packed. I loved it. It was that's the closest I've had to an Eagles home game, because the Wembley wasn't quite like that. But that was, man, I hate the Cowboys. And the English Cowboy fans are the worst as well.
Oh, my God, they're bad too? So
they're horrible, man. I get it all the time. I get the, you throw snowballs at Sam, like, because obviously they know I'm an adopted city for the
right.
And they're like, yeah, you threw snowballs. I was like, yeah, I was there in the 70s throwing the snowballs, you know. And they give me bring up all the old crap that you particularly hate, when the media just the stereotype about us and being silly, and I just hate it, man. I have to stick up for us all the time.
Dude, that's why you're one of us. Yeah. That's why you're one of our favorite sons, brother.
I'm trying to get out for FanFest, man. I'm trying to raise a bit of money, try and do a GoFundMe thing. Because I want to come out for FanFest, man. That's another thing I want to do. I want to do FanFest.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, listen, you know you're in, so, you know, you let me know if you need whatever tickets you need. I got you. You know that.
Yeah. If I can get flights, I'll call you up and get some tickets. But, yeah, don't support Liverpool. Go Birds.
Well, wait, who should I be for EPI? I need a team that's good so I can compete with them.
Saints, Southampton. You got to support something. That's my team.
Listen,
they're not very good.
Right. I mean, he's playing with Paris Saint-Germain.
Man City would be good to play with.
All right, I'll be Man City.
They've got an MLS team that they linked with. They've got New York City. I know they don't
know. All right, I'll go. All right, Sammy. Thanks, buddy. I'll go Man City.
Okay. I'm sure you'd be safe there. By the way, I want to bring this up.
What?
I'll let you geek out for a second. So, John Morosi, MLB Network.
Yes.
He was like a big part of the coverage of the World Baseball Classic. So he just posted, this could be, if everybody participates, the roster for the DR, or at least the starting lineup. Vlad Jr. at first base. Jose Ramirez at second.
At second? He's not even playing third.
Wander Franco at short. Machado at third.
Wow.
Devers is your DH.
Wow.
Soto in the outfield. Tatis in the outfield. Sandy Alcantara is the ace.
Holy moly. You got to be kidding me. Wow.
Now, that's if everybody participates.
Damn.
But that's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Look at those infielders.
Somebody posted the dream team for the United States. Okay, here you go. Your lineup. Betts, Turner, Judge. Sorry, Betts, Turner, Trout, Judge. Harper is the DH. Goldschmidt, Arenado, Real Muto behind the dish, and Tim Anderson's playing short, so you're moving Turner to second. Your rotation. DeGrom, Burns,
Scherzer,
Verlander, Cole, Scherzer.
Holy moly. Like those five are ridiculous.
That's stupid.
For USA?
They have Zach Wheeler in the bullpen.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
They got Pete Alonso coming off the bench.
Who's the DH?
Harper. And Goldie's the first base.
Who's the outfield?
Judge, Trout, Betts.
How could Pete Alonso come off like a battle off the bench? That's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
By the way, Judge is another one. Just don't stop. He don't stop.
Oh yeah, another one yesterday.
They just don't stop. I mean, they put 16, they scored, they won 16 and nothing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, you know, that's insane.
That's going to be a lot of fun if everybody participates, man.
That will be. That would be. I do. What is it about the country play that's pretty cool?
Pride.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. That's pride, Butch. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Tom.
Yo, Cuz.
What's up, Tommy?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Good.
Yo, so. Going to start with the bad news first, man. 29 years old, grew up here in Westville, New Jersey.
Oh, don't tell me.
I'm sorry, man. Raised me a Dallas fan. He's been a Dallas fan his whole life.
Well, your father was a creep. So you're a second generation creep?
Yeah, but.
Oh, Tommy.
You know what, man? Pop passed away a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've been listening to sports. I appreciate it, man. Haven't listened to sports radio in a while. It's been hard, you know.
Yeah, but
that was a big part of our relationship.
Sure.
So he used to listen to you all the time, man. So I want to first thank you for being, you know, the voice of sports radio for me as a kid growing up.
Buddy.
History, man. Yeah. Appreciate it. But really, my question, and I want to get your opinion and Trunas too. I'm a hardcore Philly fan, besides, obviously, the football part. Huge Phillies, Flyers, Sixers fan.
Uh-oh.
Hardcore. Got them tattooed down my arm, and I got my Cowboys star from my pops on my other arm, right? I need to know, does this make me any less of the other three fans?
See, it does, because here's the problem, Tom. And it goes back to your rooting. I may sit next to you at the Phillies game.
Right.
And we're rooting Schwarber, right? And then, you know, high five, fist bumping, celebrating, hugging, everything. But here, you're rooting against me on Sunday.
No, but that's the problem. Is that, and my dad used to call, used to tear him up, man. Used to get his blood boiling. And I used to watch that. And, like, see, now he always raised me with, you know, you got a team, you stick to it. But he also sat me down when I was a kid and said to me, look, man, I'm a Dallas fan, but you don't got to be a Dallas fan. But, you know, I wanted to be like Pop.
So I get that. But here's the problem is with local Cowboy fans, right?
Oh, no. I know.
You know, I mean, again.
I don't know about them cockroaches.
No, it's not even the ball breaking part of it. It's the idea that you're going against me on Sunday. Like, we're neighbors. We got to be together. I can't have you going against me on Sunday. And we're going to be at a Sixer parade together?
Oh, nah, dude. Come on, man. Sixers win this year, man. I'm going to see you on Broad Street.
I know. I'm talking about, listen, if you ever want to, you know, we're going to talk about open the books up. If you ever want to, you know, convert, I got you. Look, man, and again, in honor of your father, listen, I'll do respect to your dad, but we can talk about it, all right?
Hey, man, we'll talk. Look, I got tickets to the Eagles open practice. I'll be there, man.
All right.
Be there, we'll talk about it.
I like it. I like it. Tommy, God bless you, buddy. Take it easy, pal. Boston hater Matt, where you been, dude?
I had to go on sabbatical. We had a little separation issue when my in-laws heard the rant and the rally. But I got to come out because I've had it. I'm sick to death. My wife is a beautiful woman, stunningly gorgeous. But every once in a while, she opens her mouth or gives a look, and you see the ghoul that she is. The dirty ghoul. She's like that. She's like a young Bela Lugosi, and she's got that Somerville snarl, the Fenway fang. She lifts her lip, and this happened 2 days ago. The Phillies dominating freaking the Nationals, and the Boston Red Sox were on the same time playing Tampa Bay. She's watching the Phillies. And goes, hey, no one likes this team. You're a bunch of front running fans. She has no clue. Because she's got nothing up there in that dirt heap of a mound of crap called Boston. We have the beautiful Jersey Shore. It's July 4th week. What do they got? They got Cape Cod where you got great white sharks biting off people's arms. They're a nobody loser place. And my wife, who I care for deeply, she's got to always take a little jab. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like just making sure, is the turkey done? That little thing that pops up.
Oh.
Pop my turkey. She doesn't pop my turkey. I pop my own turkey.
She's going against her wifely duty.
Yeah, she's a terrible woman. And she's, and it's getting worse, too, because as she ages, you know, she's an elderly woman. She's not elderly, but she ages. And you see these, like, little lines, and I go, that's not a South Philadelphia wrinkle. That's not a Center City dimple. Nah, those are crevices created by the big dick. Those are Revere and Saudi spots on your cheeks and forehead. It gives me the creeps. Occasionally, I got to put a night mask on just to sleep. Yeah.
The ghoul comes out. Yeah, the Boston ghoul.
Yeah, and she's a beautiful woman. I married a girl 22 years. I mean, what am I going to do? But occasionally, you know, you go out.
Yeah, I know. They come out. Comes out.
Dig a hole. Sometimes I dig. You know why? Because it sickens me. So I just dig holes and swim in. Because I try to dig because I have nowhere to go. I'm digging myself in a trench because I married this fiend. Yeah.
You are the greatest, dude. Boston hater, Matt. Nobody hates Boston more than Matt. How are the children coming along?
My children. You remember the old? Remember when you introduced them, the fanatic? They graduated high school this year. These two young boys, the twins.
Wow.
They are going. One of them's going to Pittsburgh. I'm so proud of them. The other one's going to a school up in New England.
Oh, my God.
And he was the one I always had a weird, you know, he had an ugly look. He's got a little bit of that, you know, Massachusetts in him. Era. Dunkin' Donuts, you know what I mean? Licking sewers. He's got a little bit of that dirt rat thing. Jerk creepo in him. You know what I mean? The other one, he's my angel. This one is...
That's you. See, what? Listen... Because one's going to be more you, one's going to be more her. That's kind of how it works.
Unfortunately, he's the smarter one, but that's nobody's business. Because I love the other one. The hell with the one, kid, and I love you, Nate.
Boston hated that. You're the grace. You can't be a stranger.
I know. I love you. I haven't called. It's been craziness, man. I got these graduating kids.
Yeah.
You just said my pop passed 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Maddie, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, so it's been craziness, I know. But then, you know what, that's just part of the point.
Yeah.
This diva, this woman's got to understand that. Give me a little bit of pepperoni instead of hitting me with the freaking ugly, whatever they eat up there, the Wonder Bread with a roll
horrible. Horrible.
And they don't even know what
the lobster, what is it called? The lobster, that's a lobster sandwich, like they put in there. It's hard.
Lobster roll with the mayonnaise.
Lobster roll, yeah, horrible.
Do mayonnaise.
That's terrible. Mayonnaise. Yeah, you should be.
Of course.
Because terrible.
You know, you put a little oil and vinegar. Oil and vinegar. Hey, let's have some whatever they put.
Yeah, they're hard. They're just tasteless people. You are the great. I love you, buddy. This is my, also, all seriousness, my heart goes out to you, brother. You know what
Thank
I mean?
Thank you, brother.
You're the best. You're the best. Don't be a stranger, please. All right?
I love you. All right, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks,
Boston
Bob.
Sucks.
Boston blows. Now, that is called big league hate.
Yes. It's a good work out of him.
It is tremendous. Boston hater Matt, who married a woman from Boston, who his in-laws tried to circumvent his sons and make them Patriot fans and Red Sox fans, and he's been battling for their souls.
Oh, yeah, and they've been winning, so that's got to be tough.
Yes. He has been, the poor man has been through it, Matt. We love Matt, and, he's been through with the poor guy. But like he told you, every once in a while he looks and he sees the ghoul come out in his wife, the Boston ghoul. Same way with Cowboys, dude. Yeah, I know you're all Giants, but we learned today, and we will continue over the summer, to learn that the Cowboys are still an enemy. Thanks for listening, everybody. We love you. Stay tuned. T.Y. Johnson, Tommy and Jen coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.